Check one. Okay, I think we're live, guys. Hi, good morning, everybody. This is episode 725 with Oli Demigard. We're going to discuss false flags, overcoming fear, and just anything, like tons of interesting stuff. I was listening to Mike Williams, Sage Akwe, and he's had Oli on several times, and it was mind-blowing. I've talked about him a lot lately, because he's introduced a lot of new and fairly horrifying information to me, but he does it in a way that doesn't trigger a fear response. And in this day and age, I think that's the most important thing. As I talked about in the stream yesterday, the real plague isn't one of these made-up viruses. It's despair and fear. And Oli was capable of handling so much information that typically someone would use to agitate, to like sell something, or to get people so scared that they can mold them and put them where they want. And he doesn't do that. And so I'm going to have him on in a second to talk about that. But first, I wanted to just quickly address Kobe's helicopter crash. This was one of the first events that I've been much more aware lately of how these patterns work. And it just seems like nonsense. So, but I will show you this. Bill Burr has just listed his helicopter on Craigslist for $1. I got to get rid of this thing. Serious inquiries only. I mean, granted, me and Cottington Bear did make that this morning. That's not real. But like, if you have a helicopter at this point, like, you got to sell it. Even if this was some kind of satanic ritual or they faked his death for like some sort of profit, who knows? But helicopters seem real sketchy. You know, I'm a much bigger fan of driving or biking. So next time your buddy's like, hey, we can take the helicopter, just be like, no. All right. So without further ado, Oli Demigard is, he's one of the giants that we're currently standing on his shoulders of. This dude was checking out conspiracies and uncovering patterns before the internet existed, you know, and it must have been a pretty lonely time back then, because back then, if you questioned the mainstream at all, people probably wanted to pitchfork and, you know, put you in a little, just kick you out of the village. But now that so much of this is being revealed, I have a lot of respect for someone who gritted their teeth and got through it back when there was more opposition. And, you know, I'm just going to bring him on that way. I can just ask him these questions instead. I'm just doing this long rambly intro, but he's spoken to hundreds. I'll just ask him. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Oli Demigard. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Owen, and thank you so much I was really so pleasantly surprised when somebody told me that you had started referring to me, because it's just wonderful the way it's spreading now. And also, it's one thing that I've been wanting for a long, long time, is to get more humor into it and get more stand-ups to get into this area, because it's just packed with stuff that is so mind-blowing that you should be able to do just incredible stand-up with it.
Well, yeah, well, that's why comedy has been so subtly outlawed in the mainstream, is because it does do so much revealing. That's the nature of comedy, you know, like the that mindset of mocking what is real. Like the comedian's mind is always looking for the truth in a situation, and then they try to present it in a way that makes people laugh. You know, it's like the jester character. And so in this day and age, it's full of comedy, but the controllers know that, and that's one reason why I perform in airport hangars now instead of Comedy Central specials. But you're right, it's a great time to laugh, man.
Yep, it is indeed.
And so the one thing that drew me to you was, I was listening to this episode, and you know, you talk to assassins, and you actually go to hoax event areas. Like, you are one of the people that actually has predicted where they're going to go next. Like, you're in it, and you were revealing to me a lot of information that normally would have scared me. Like, if Alex Jones had screamed it at me, I would have been like, quick, baby, we got to sell everything, silver and seeds. Oh, man, what are we going to do? But you presented it in a way that was calming. And when you said, like, when you gave almost a PSA to whatever intelligence agency was listening, where you're like, they're not on your side. You know, it's like, I know you want to just delete my hard drive, but, you know, I have compassion for you and your bosses aren't, you know, looking out for your best interest. And that blew my mind because that isn't really being presented these days. That compassion side and that lack of fear is so much more effective and so much more fun, you know? So thank you for that.
Do you know, I think that human beings are good from scratch, you know, kids, if before we mess them up, they're good. You know, they've got a good heart. You see children with animals and they don't step on ants. You know, they're very careful and fascinated by nature. They don't go around raping dogs or whatever. That comes later when we have messed them up. And so I always see people as beautiful beings, some of them totally messed up, but I see them as there was this guy, I call him a super hacker, called Jesus, who cracked this matrix. And what he said was, judge the sin, not the sinner. So I try to do that because it makes me feel better. I'm more comfortable with it. So when I see somebody approaching me like a SWAT team member or a screaming police officer, whatever, I see them as a misled or misguided individual who believes in what he's doing. And in his world, I'm the enemy. So I can't blame him for wanting to get rid of me. But at the same time, what I focus on is reaching his heart to get in through this armor. And instead of trying to persuade him with words, I try to do it with, my being. You know, just being fearless in whatever situation. And that has this, the times when I manage to stay fearless, even while under incoming heavy artillery, there magic happens. So it's just amazing to be part of situations like that. So that is why I very often try to reach the heart of military individuals or people in SWAT team uniforms, police uniforms and so on, because I know that when they signed up, they meant well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go out, I'm going to liberate countries and fight for democracy and freedom.
Yep.
Yeah, sure, that sounded really good. But what they find themselves in is like where they're being used as hired killers and where the whole idea is to backing someone else's greed and their agenda, not the soldiers. Because these top ones, or I call they go lower, I think this power pyramid is actually turning downwards.
Yeah.
So the people at the top of the pyramid is at the absolute pit bottom rock. I mean, you can't get lower down the shithole than where they are. And so I just try to reach the individual and bypass all of this messed up mind stuff that they have been pumped with.
Yeah, that's so true, man. And being a father now, to witness what an untraumatized human looks like is very inspiring. And because I think trauma is what, like, intense trauma can lead to the psychopath or, you know, the person who wants to destroy the world. But most people, like what you just described, are in debt and they're operating on bad information. And so when you understand that, you don't, you know, I've fallen in some of these traps of the other and the they and who's doing it and what group is my enemy. And the enemy is simply, you know, that like the enemy is evil itself or someone being puppeted and the human isn't what's causing it. Like there's no one to shoot. You know, like some of my buddies are like, well, you know, I'm armed and ready to go and stuff. I'm like, okay, who? And they're like, well, I mean, when the zombie apocalypse, I'm like, it's here. Who? Like who's your target, man? And this is the thing I figured out, or not figured out, but I realized from your talks that made me feel a little better is a lot of these hit squads and stuff, they go after competitors and they go after people that can put them in prison. And it's just a real sick and dark world. And there is a way to bloom where you're planted and to be in the world, but not of it. And that's with compassion and truth and health and, you know, a lot of good things.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't really know how come I ended up in this position I am in now. But I've just been drawn into war zones. I've been drawn to assassins. I've been drawn to spirituality. It's been like almost like the yin yang symbol, you know, like if I looked in my bookshelf, it was like either about serial killers or about spirituality, nothing in between. And so I've been,
I'm so I know, relate, dude. I so relate.
And then I've also been, I think I've gone through more or less most traumas that are around, even though some of them have been mild, but including people getting murdered and death threats and abuse and you name it. And these things have been a blessing in disguise because it's given me a lot more compassion for individuals that have gone through horrible times.
Yeah.
It's like I'm still suffering from some PTSD, I was told the other day, because like any loud sound, I mean, I'm like an old lady. I jump, my body just jumps. But I think that is from, there was, I was close to a couple of car bombs in near the border to Lebanon. And that, I mean, when you feel the impact of an explosion that size, holy crap, yeah. The body just, you know, like, so I can't control that. But what I'm saying is with all of these things that looks evil, I mean, I am the exact opposite of evil. I will do everything I can to stop it by exposing it. But at the same time, these bad things and these horrific things are also, and horrific people, I mean, absolute assholes and boils in the butt are the best teachers as well, because they will push us into situation where we have to evolve. We have to deal with it.
Yes.
Where otherwise we could just duck and dive. So when absolute assholes in my way of seeing it comes along, I see it as a challenge. And sometimes I manage to do something good with that. And sometimes I fail, but I'm getting more and more aware of it instead of pointing towards whatever person that is saying, you're this. You know, they say you point with one finger, but there are like three fingers pointing at you.
Yeah.
So once you heal that part of yourself, that they won't be able to get to you. So what I'm trying to do is heal myself, be as complete as possible, so I stand whole and then do everything I can to change this world for a better place. But nonviolent. Absolute nonviolent, but yeah. Absolute fearless as well. And then with compassion, forgiveness, and raise it, you know, raise the whole level of where we are now, because I'm fed up with all of this madness and we're worth a lot better.
Yeah, and exposing truth, like what you do, does help to lower the trauma. You know, sometimes in the past when I've talked about some of these things and they've said, you know, just, it's going to make everyone stressed out. People are going to freak out. I'm like, no, it's the exact opposite. When you understand what this is, you can avoid it and grow through it. And I have a homestead, so I'm around animals all the time. And there's no lie in nature, as my friend Crow777 says. And it's so true. Like, there are predators that only attack when you have a fear response. That's the only time. So you could have a chicken or, you know, a duck, and if you don't run from the weasel, it doesn't even move. But as soon as you run, it'll just instinctively kill you. And that's true in so much of life, that without a fear response, it short circuits them a bit. And when you understand what their goal is and what they do, it's less scary than thinking at any time, you know, someone just wants to kill you for your freedom with a bomb, you know? So let's start talking, like, walk us through what a false flag is and what exactly this traveling psychopath circus is up to and what the pattern is, so that people can kind of have a lookout for it.
Okay, you got like 6 hours. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break it down. First, you said, what is a false flag operation? And I would say, most of these operations are made for a small group of people, how a small little group of people can control the masses. That's why they use psychological operations, because if they were a majority and so much more powerful than us, there would be no need for psychological operation. They could just crush us. So this is good news, because that shows us they're very few and they're scared. So psychological operations. One of them are so-called false flag operations. And a false flag operation is an old naval term from, I think, the 16th, 17th century, when Great Britain, Holland, Spain, Portugal, these type of countries were roaming around the world, invading, rape, plunder. That was the agenda. And they could do it because they had the military force to do it, just like the U.S. today. But what happened sometimes was that maybe sometimes it could give them a bad rep, you know, destroy trading agreements with other nations because they looked bad. So somebody came up with the idea, why don't we do it like this? Let's just play a mind game with the rest of the world. Let's put whatever target we have, whatever nation we're targeting, let's put their flag on one of our own ships. Then we have our own ship attack ourselves, that making us the victim. And then we will say, when they started, I'm just defending myself. And that would then justify us going in, invasion, rape, and plunder. So the exact same thing, but with a psyop. And that became really popular. And even the pirates started seeing, like, oh my God, that's a good one. So they started doing the same. Whatever the target was, they put that flag on their ship. And it, once the targeted vessel was started looking at them and saying, oh my God, that guy's missing an eye and this one got a wooden leg, it was too late. And so, boom, they took over. So it's a psyop. So a false flag operation, many people say did anyone die or did they not? That has nothing to do with it. We're talking about a psychological operation where the attacked one is actually the attacker. That's the whole thing. The attacked one is actually the attacker. So in modern times, you will see that the victim will step forward after an alleged attack saying, oh my God, we have to stand united in the face of terror. And, you know, but they will also serve you the solution of the attack. And these are the ones that carried out the attack, the ones stepping forward saying, we have to face this together, we have to stand united, are very often the ones that actually did it.
Yeah.
Because there's another one. These methods, I think, were fine-tuned by the Romans.
Yep.
Because the Romans were a bunch of people dressed in like sheets and a plot, and what do you call it, a flower pot on the head, walking around in Rome saying, we want to control the whole world. And when you look at the size of the Roman Empire, oh my God, it is massive. I mean, I went on a bicycle through Europe. It's massive. It is massive. So how did they do it before Twitter, before the phones, before fax machines, before airplanes? How did they do it? Through psychological operations. That is the key to the method here, to the madness. So one of the ones, I'll just go through a few of them. It's divide and conquer. That's a classical. So what they will do is they will mess up a situation so that you will start pointing at each other saying, oh, it's my neighbor's fault, it's the Sikh's fault, it's the Hindu's fault, it's the Christian, it's the Catholics, no, it's the Muslims, no, it's the Jew. It's like this, instead of seeing who is actually doing it to us. That's the thing, who is actually doing it and who benefits. Cui bono, that's another key one. Who benefits, or like to say, follow the money. That's more or less the same as who benefits. So that's another one. Who benefits from whatever happens? Then you have diversion. A diversion is standard. All military operations, false flags, you name it, there's a diversion. It would be like this. Boom, what? So something goes off over there, and you will look that way saying, what the hell happened? But the real action is behind you. You will always see that it's not in the direction where the boom or whatever it is came from. It's the other direction. That's over here. So nowadays, when it says boom there, everybody looks there. I'm here. What the hell is going on here? So that can be anything from an explosion, a fire, but it can also be like public people saying very strange things, like I'm going to buy Greenland or I'm going to build a wall. What? And you will look that way. I'm not saying that this was, but I'm just saying that could very well be such a thing. I want to buy Greenland. And everybody looks that way.
Well, do you think, do you think Kobe Bryant's helicopter crash, because it seems so odd Do you think that, like, right now is doing this?
I mean, I don't know enough about it, but when it's like, if you see, I think it was Simpson or Comedy Central or whatever, you have exactly with him and a helicopter crash where he dies in it, like years ago.
Yeah.
So things like that makes it really bizarre, very weird. And we can get into that later about what that could be all about. But did he really die? If so, it would be an assassination. Or you have also this whole thing, you know, with famous people changing identities, just like in Breaking Bad. They buy a new identity when they just want to, for some reason, to get out of the public's, you know, spotlight. You know, dead person also, if you're a singer, your career is starting to go down, you're starting to hit 50, boom, you get murdered or killed or whatever, and suddenly your career is boom. They sell like billions of records.
Yeah.
So, and I know like a friend of mine, CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum, I mean, he is not an amateur. He was even the commander of Pegasus, George Bush Sr.'s private hit team. And he was part of at least 14 assassinations. I mean, he was one of the pilots flying all the presidents from Nixon up onwards, all the way up to George Bush Sr. And if you want to see a monster, George Bush Sr., oh my God. I mean, that is what a real monster looks like, a real terrorist looks like. But anyway, what he said was that, and I lost the thread, we were talking about false flag operations.
Identities. We were talking about how famous
people. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And what he said was that since he can fly anything from a C-130 to a tiny little whatever, he can even fly on the radar. He's quite famous for flying on in a way that he will not be detected by radar. He's the only one, as far as I know, that can do that.
Yeah.
And people have offered him big money to reveal how he's doing it, but he's not telling it. But anyway, he said that many times he had to, you know, he was just a pilot. You know, he was not there to ask questions or anything. But he said many times he flew from the U.S. to Canada with people where he was just like, oh, my God, are you not dead? You know, that
right.
type. And that was more than once. So high-level deaths, you have to sometimes put a question mark and just say, wait a second, and look into it.
Yeah, especially when they – I mean, a lot of famous people hate it too, and they're also just looking – they're looking at it like characters. Like, I'll take my son to see Monster Trucks or Monster Jam, where these, like, archetypal trucks, like Gravedigger goes against Pirate Curse, and to him it's real. And I was starting to think, like, that's how adults are with a lot of politics and entertainment, you know? And in my mind, it's all real, but it's probably just a more complicated World Wrestling Federation where here comes the Undertaker. Oh, I'm the bad guy today. I'm the good guy. And then they're like, my contract's up. I'm out. I'm going to go just have another life, you know?
Do you know, like, somebody asked a friend of mine why he's not voting, and he says, I do not support organized crime. And I thought that was a brilliant way of dealing with it. Because if you look at what is, I'm not into politics at all, because I think it's a total waste of time, because when you come to a certain level, they're all corrupt, that's it. Otherwise, they will not get to that level. I have that from insiders. But the way that politics are set up in most countries is that you got a left, a right, and then you got some small ones in the middle, like a center, liberal, whatever they call them, like this. But what people are not aware of is that it's like fingers on a hand. They all belong to the same body. So the hidden body will show you the hand saying, which one do you want to choose? You can choose this one, the left one, or the right one, or the pinky. It's up to you.
Yeah.
But whatever you choose, you will still have the same body behind it. And that is why nothing changes. You have, oh, change. They love this thing, the word change. We will change. You will do nothing. You will promise us a lot before the election, and you will keep none of it after the elections. So it's like they are loyal to the power behind the scenes. That's what they are. So to even go there or listen to them or vote or whatever, it's in my world, it's an absolute waste of time. So I focus on other areas where I can make a difference.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. And I like Trump's revealing nature. He almost, as a comedian, I see a lot of the fool, the comedian archetype, the trickster in him. And I'm just enjoying the ride, where it just seems like he likes to ride waves of energy and point things out and see what he can get away with. And it does, he's not going to like save us and end the Fed and stop illegal immigration, all that stuff. But what he is doing is kind of letting people hang themselves a little bit and just reveal themselves, because the trickster will get the other person to just be like, fine, I admit it, I'm gay. You know, like there's this element of comedy that like pulls the truth out of people that I think Trump does. I just don't think it's what we think it is. You know, I think it, as you said, it's like sties for pigs or little areas for goats. It's like, oh, the goats go here or there, but either way, you know, it's like when I'm trying to get my son to eat stuff, it's like broccoli or cauliflower. Like I don't put pizza on the plate, but you know, my thing these days is just trying to like enjoy the ride and not try and fight it, you know, cause you know, coyotes exist. I'm not going to go, I'll never get rid of coyotes and they're always going to want to eat my goats, but I can enjoy building fences and stuff like that. You know, I'm just trying to accept the nature of reality at this point, you know?
Yeah, but there's a deception involved as well. And I think, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about Donald Trump. At the same time, I'm observing, I have not listened to him 5 minutes in total, I think. But when I observe his way of being and doing, he's, I think it was really interesting that you call him the trickster, because I call him the Joker.
Yeah.
It's like he is like this little person making a hit, you know, in the old courts, they were the ones with the jingle hats and making.
I do it for a living.
And,
that's yeah. My job. All right, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, and so what he, I think his task is just to stir up confusion, stir it up, send bizarre Twitter things, try to buy and bargain. Greenland, I would say there are other places with less snow and ice that could be more attractive, maybe. But, or build this wall. I mean, okay, great investment, and get Mexico to pay for it. I don't think so. But it will get people to talk and divert the attention away from what is actually going on. And then all of this, we will drain the swamp. And I mean, I see lists of name of people being arrested, and I've never, ever seen people in jail, but maybe I avoid this area because it doesn't interest me. It really bores me.
Politics is an energy drain for sure. But one thing I am seeing that's hopeful is people are having less trust and faith in these corrupt institutions for the first time in my lifetime. Like I believe the 9/11 narrative when it happened. Like that's a positive that's happening now, is we're almost seeing it, you know, like, some of my buddies are like, don't you know Trump is like a Zionist puppet? I'm like, yeah, but he's one of the first presidents that you know that. Like, that's been happening a long time, you know? And so I just think the truth will set us free. And the fact that this is an era of like, I see so many people homeschooling, so many people. My mom was anti-vaccine when I was born in 1980. No one else was. You know, I see people caring about their food. I see people reconnecting to God. And that's because of the chaos. Like sometimes these things work in interesting ways where the plans are backfiring. You know, they go too far. And that's the next question I want to ask you is, so they have this hoax shooting circus attempting to stir up fear and anger and agendas and all this stuff. Do you think it doesn't feel like it's working like it did? You know, it doesn't, like when Sandy Hook happened, I cried. And I'm like not that emotional of a person. And now when things happen, I see the puppets. I feel like they don't have the same powers they once did. I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Well, if they had the same power, I would have totally failed, I tell you that. I think it's interesting you say 1980, because that was when I woke up. So I've spent your whole life digging into these things.
It's amazing,
so,
man.
Thank God. I hope it's made some kind of impact. But you know, it's like when 9/11 happened, I mean, within 4 seconds, I knew, oh, my God, here's another one. And other people are still arguing about, you know, OK, how did they do it? That's an interesting question. But I think we should focus more on who did it, because they're still active. They are the ones doing it to us. Behind the whole power structures, that's what is behind the New World Order. But when I remember 2005 or something like that, my no nine something like that. My daughter was just 4 years old, and she came in one day. I was sitting watching some videos of the towers coming down, and she said, "Daddy, what are you looking at?" And so I told her the official story, and she looked upon me and said, "Dad, why are you lying to me? I'm a child. I'm not stupid." And then she took off, and I just said, "That is a sign of a healthy mind before it's been messed up," because she just looks at the fact and like, "You're right. You cannot dustify a massive skyscraper. That you cannot do that. I don't. How do you do it? You cannot with any kind of known technology." I mean, now more and more it's coming forward of a massive combination of all types of weaponry that was used to bring down these or dustify these buildings. So one of the things that I focused on for many years is trying to show the ingredients of how these attacks or alleged attacks are being carried out. And just like you said, I've been to more than 50 countries. I've been traveling on my own, trying getting to these locations often right after they happen. So I'm facing like military and police that are officially there to protect the population, but I know they were part of carrying it out. They're there to cover their own tracks, and they do not want nosy people like myself to get too close. So not too nice. At the same time, somebody has to do it because apparently mainstream media is not doing what they're supposed to do. But when I get to these locations, I'm not trying to make up my mind beforehand. I'm just trying to find out what the hell happened. And a good idea. Did it actually happen the way we were being told, or did someone else carry it out? Were they a real victim? And if so, why and how and where did they come from? And I always, up until now, have ended up with an exact opposite version of the official version. They point at Muslim terrorists or whatever type of terrorist or lone crazy individuals. I keep ending up with NATO, the US contractors, the Gladio Network, people backed up with Saudi money, inside jobs, black ops, there to scare the living bejesus out of whatever population that are in that country. And these countries are also connected. It's not just random. They're connected. And it's through NATO or it's through secret spy alliances that was created after the Second World War. One of them called Five Eyes, like Eyes, EYSE, Eyes, Nine Eyes, and 14 Eyes. You will see these nations are the nations where these things are being carried out because that is where they can control them. And so, this is over the years. I had no idea that this was what was going on. I was buying into it a lot as well, as we all have. And then over the years, I started seeing more and more like, what the hell? I sort of recognize that individual. Doesn't he look like that? And that woman. And also, my daughter has been really helpful. I call her my secretary because, like when you're playing these games, I don't know what's called memo. Is it in English? Do you know where there's pairs of images and you put them, flip them so that the face is downwards. And you play with a 3-year-old, I mean, they will beat your ass any time of the day. When you're sitting there trying to remember, where was the other one? I can't remember. So I've used her a lot to say, please, can you just come over, have a look? Is there anything in this video that you find strange? Or, and she's like, well, nothing except the woman in white over there. I'm like, what? The woman in white there, she was in that video you showed me 3 weeks ago. I'm like, what? And then these type of things have helped me to identify these individuals. And then I came to a point, I believe that, or they, the dark ones or whatever you want to call them, I believe it was after 9/11 and before Boston, the Boston alleged bombing, where I think that the thing that really messed things up were mothers, pissed off mothers that had lost a child. Even a grown-up man has a mother, and a woman who loses her child, will they become fearless? They're like They're like a tiger, you know, that would just breathe down your neck until they find out what actually happened. You will see that in many Latin American countries after military coups and where people have disappeared in the thousands. Who are the ones standing up? It's the mothers. They will come back every single week demonstrating, asking for the truth. And after 9/11, where there were so many victims, not as many as we've been told, but there were still many victims, I think, where these mothers were causing a major problems for the forces behind. I mean, we're talking inside job here on 9/11 with backup from Israel and this whole thing, but inside job. And so they try to get rid of some of them, but you know, you can only have a certain amount of car crashes and suicides
Right.
and whatever. After a while, it's just like, come on, you know, really? Another one, another one, another one? So what are they going to do? And that's where I believe the so-called crisis actors was invented, where somebody came up with the idea, why don't we make a mobile unit where we can control all parameters, including the victims, because it's blowback that they are very afraid of. They do not want us to be able to track down where did it come from, who carried it out. And so this is, I believe, where this mobile unit was invented, where so-called crisis actors are also taking part. So this unit is just like a rock band on tour, more or less, or a theater group on tour. You have more or less the same setup. So you have actors, crisis actors is what they're called. You even got crowds that follow. You can rent them from a company called Crowds on Demand. You can also get mourners, rentamourner.co.uk or rentamourner.com. You can also rent people really good at crying at funerals. Or if you wasn't a real asshole while you were alive and you want to look good after you died, you can rent them beforehand and just book the date. You know, I pay you now, and then when I'm dead, you come at my funeral and you look like I was loved. But anyway, in that group, you have crisis actors, directors, you have makeup, you got costumes, you got pyrotechnics, people, experts on explosives, you got a camera team, you got the marketing agencies, that are marketing agency, you got controllers and bodyguards. Controllers are there to control the group because whistleblowers are not allowed. That is a major one. And then they're being transported in big C-130s, military planes. And they most of the time land after dark on NATO bases or American Air Force bases. They're being transported like this. And then from there on, they're being transported with buses to location where this whole thing is then being prepared. We're looking at a terror attack now. That's what I'm talking about. Where they have to tell us why they're there. Otherwise, we would become too curious and like, what the hell is that truck doing over there? And this, and so people would become curious. So what they do is they go out and they make an announcement saying, tomorrow or on Wednesday, we will come and have a FEMA drill for your protection, a security drill, a mass shooting drill for your protection, because we really care about you.
Yeah.
I think not. Anyway, so they have to do that to be able to lock, close off the streets in that area. And if you look, the places where these things are mostly carried out are very compartmentalized. It's you don't see it on the news, but once you go there, that's why I go to these locations. You will see, oh my God, it looks so big on TV, but when you get there, it's like 100 yards, and it's a back street that is closed off, or it's you know, it's all the time controlled area. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Or a school with closed door windows, or a train where so it's inside the train so nobody can see what's going on,
Yeah.
or a train station, a bus station where you can just close up that area, boom, everything explodes apparently, and then you play the whole thing out because they do not want us to be able to see. So before the drill, there will be like a rehearsal. I mean, I'm sure that you recognize all of this. There will be a
Dude, this is
rehearsal the day
exactly what
before.
I've been a part. Like, I've been on the comedy side of this. I'll tell you after you're done, but go on. This is just so fascinating.
So there will be a rehearsal the day before, and they go through everything. And also, one thing that is key, it needs to be sunny, because it needs to be sunny in 2 days in a row, because they will have part of the filming done during the drill, so that makes sure that everything is covered for the live feed the next day. That is why you don't have a terror attack on a rainy day. If you notice, it's never raining, because they can't have sort of take the footage from one day and then suddenly it's raining the next day, and they mix the two feeds. Ugh. No, live from this and that. Right now, live. Well, let's go to the reporter, Steven Stevenson. And then he's there, and maybe it's raining, and then they cut to a live feed where it's sunny. You can't have that.
B-roll but has to match. Ollie, this is literally exactly what it is. And I've been a part of it. This is mind-blowing, man. It's like, in my business, it would be B-roll has to match. You know, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is insane. Like, when I was on the show Punked, we'd lock off an area. There would be key people in positions. Just like, you don't need the entire NATO to be in on it, or America. It's a small amount of people. You have your mark. You have your goal. You do your B-roll. You accomplish what you do, and you leave. It's fascinating how it's the same. It's an entertainment piece. Unreal. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
No, but Owen, I mean, really, it would be better if you told your version, because then I could maybe get some inside tips, you know, or ideas, because this is if they make a commercial for Fanta, or if they make this, it's selling. They're selling, they're marketing, but the product they're selling is fear.
Fear.
It's fear porn that is being pumped out.
So, and they a boogeyman, don't care, and a boogeyman
about the location. They don't care about the location. They don't care about the people of Atlanta, if that's where they're going to do something. They don't care about that. They're looking for the global impact, or at least the national impact. So it's the fear that is being spread out. That is the only thing that matters.
Yep.
So they have this rehearsal. They also have, during that, they have all of these high-quality stills of victims. You know, lots of blood, lots of, it's always, also they need to go emotional. So the victims very rarely are old blokes, you know, old guys or dead cows don't work, but children, women and children, or teenagers when it's mass shootings, it's always teenagers, and they're more or less always good looking as well. You know, so, oh, isn't that sad? That's what they want.
Yeah.
So They have these high quality HD photo stills that is being used for mainstream media, for the newspapers. And that is just prepared, because they cannot count on, maybe something goes wrong once they go live the day after, and they cannot risk that, you know. So all of these are taken on location, the same angles, the same everything, and click, 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 thank you. Then they have what I call the catwalk of death, where there's always this guy or someone, you never find out who it is, that is walking around in between the victims, filming with a video camera. And the quality is like so bad. It's like a VHA copy of a German porn film in the 70s. I mean, it's awful. It's, you cannot nowadays, with the type of cameras that all cell phones have, you cannot get that low quality.
Yeah.
But they're there to make you, make it impossible for someone like myself to identify the people. And they're always sitting with the back towards the camera. You can very rarely see any facial structure or anything like that. And you don't see emergency people either. It's normally civilians that are taking care of these victims. And then you have a little bit of blood and a little bit of screaming, and that's it. And boom. So that's the catwalk of death, because that is pumped out the day after. And so the whole thing is rehearsed. You have to have catering on location. You have to have, what are they called? Not Teletubbies, but Potter, I don't know what you call them, toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. It's exactly like on a film set. That's it. And then once they rehearsed and everything, then they start using vehicles to block off the area also. Specifically, if it's in a big city, you will use the same buses that you transport the crisis actors in. You will bring them on location, and then often if they go live, They do these operations sometimes right in the middle of a Friday in the city center of a town, like they did in Stockholm. I mean, you had to applaud them because that's pretty impressive. But what they do is they have like a helicopter or a drone nowadays above, so you have aerial view. And then they have these buses that are traveling around in the city. And then on a given moment, when everything is prepared, it go and stop. And then these buses just stops blocks off streets and stuff. So people behind them think, oh, maybe is it a car queue? Or you can't see past the bus. But that's how they hold the traffic back. And also they beforehand, they have like road work and stuff that just helps to isolate the whole area, because often they only need like 5-10 minutes in total to carry the whole thing out, so that it will look like, oh my God, because often you prepare the crisis actors. So one thing that I found over and over again is that these things happen right outside libraries. And this is because a library is a perfect place to prepare stuff in. It's a big public place. The only thing you have to do is close the door and say, sorry, closed, come back on Monday.
Yeah.
People don't stand, look in and say, what is going on in there? But that's plenty of space. You got facilities, you got some showers, toilets, catering, everything can be done in there. So libraries or theaters, I mean, theaters are the best. They have everything, including makeup facilities, you name it. It's right there. Or parking houses. These three I've seen over and over and over again. So often what is, it's being prepared inside these buildings so we can walk pass on the pavement, not seeing what's going on at all. You walk by 5 minutes later and you have the aerial view, the buses, the vehicles. You also use grip trucks, these white anonymous trucks that just are also there to block off the street. I'm sure you know exactly the ones I'm talking about. And then and you have background action first, you know, so everybody starts moving. You have cue markers on the I find cue markers, you know, because I know what to look for. Cue markers, lighting, all of these things, and background action, everything starts moving in the back. And boom, once that is set and you blocked off the streets and everything, and then you have action. And that is when then the terrorist is whatever he's doing. But you will see in the background, nothing is moving. There's no traffic. It's most of the time really poorly pulled off.
Yeah, and the dead bodies are never how dead bodies look. Like a real dead body is usually in a very uncomfortable position. Like a dead body, not to be morbid, but in an actual dead body could have their leg in a position where it would cause excruciating pain. You'll never see that with these people. And the chat is being hilarious right now. They're saying like, how funny would a sketch be the crisis actor improv class where they're, because that's where my comedy brain goes, is the nuts and bolts of this. Like what's the average day like for these actors? And another thing is, as someone who understands acting, I've been in movies. I was one of the leads of a sitcom. They're not good actors, and the production isn't great these days. Like, as someone who now sees it, once the spell was broken that these people are capable of something so insane, I'm watching like a dinner theater version of Cats, you know?
Do you know, like, the reason why the actors are so bad is because all the good are taken. It's wonderful because all the good ones are like child actors and stuff, and they grow up. They are part of ads, TV ads and commercials and theater plays, and their photos taken of them. They can't use them because, oh my God, he made this serial thing 2 years ago. Like that geek Damagard, he might be able to find that, and oh my God, our cover is blown. So they have to take these absolute useless actors. Well, I won't even call them actors, but people that can hardly read the script. I mean, look at after the Orlando Pulse shooting, the woman standing, the mother, Christine Leohondo or something like that. She has a Finnish last name. You see she's standing looking down to the left and reading the script. She gets the question. So what does your son look like? She has to check the script. He was dark-haired and 35. Yeah, okay, fine. Do you know, and you can see the reflection in her glasses.
Yeah.
When you look and you enlarge that, you can see the green screen. I mean, the reflection on a green screen, these are the things that I tell you, I look at every tiny little detail like an absolute geek. I'm like this, you know. I've been making my girlfriend so embarrassed because, like in Dallas, when I was one of the speakers at the JFK conference, I was crawling across the street, measuring angles, checking out things, cars going all around me, honking. I'm sorry, it was the only chance I had maybe in my lifetime to be there. I will be in the street until I got that angle. Do you know? So
the devil's in the details.
It is. It is. And this is when I make presentations. I put a hell of a lot of work into making it so good as possible. So I don't think I've ever been questioned hardly on any fault when it comes to fact faults. I don't think I've ever been criticized. But what I try to do is make it so that you're up against Mike Tyson, but fact-wise. So that there's no room for discussion. You will see for yourself. I'm just pointing. I'm just, look at that one. Look over here.
Yep.
What about that? You know, it's said to be like 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. So how come it's total pitch black? And then I show when the sun goes down in that area, it goes down at that time. So how come, how could they take that photo or this photo or that? Or, you know, and very often, It's I don't know why, if it's time that they are stressed for time, but sort of like, I don't know about you, Owen, but the last time I was shot 5 times with an AR-15, I did not move. I did not move for quite a while. Here, these people, boom, 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 they get shot. And then the day after, they're there giving a press conference, looking great. You know, like, what was his name, Colon, Angel Colon, at the Pulse alleged shooting, where there was like several more hundred people said to have been inside a building that could not keep that many building even, or many people inside. Anyway, he said that the shooter, he came and he fired at him with this AR-15, but he held up his hand and the bullet hit his hand and that saved his life. Okay.
Sorry for laughing.
Why are you laughing?
Because that's insane.
This is serious.
Well,
this
that's
is
the thing.
Worst
I mean,
in mass that shooting in the history of the USA. You should be scared.
And the smoke bombs in Boston. That's the thing that why this is all crumbling now is because anyone with an expertise in anything can see through it. It's like the electrical's wrong, or anyone that's been around an explosion, what you described earlier, it shakes your bones. It's like violent, even if it's just the compression. And you're watching these people and you're like, that's not how it is. Like, it's almost like in 40-Year-Old Virgin when the guy was trying to describe what a breast felt like and everyone knew it was fake. He's like, yeah, breasts are great, man. It's like sandbags and I love breasts. And everyone's like, have you ever felt a breast? It's like that with the moon landing. Like, rather not, it's one of the first things I saw in the moon landing that was crazy was the TV production side of it. You can't do a live broadcast that far away with so little power. Like, I know how TV works. So anybody that knows, has an expertise in anything, can see through this stuff. And yeah, man. And some of my buddies, my conspiracy buddies, think it's on purpose to mess with us, to be bad actors and stuff. It's not. It's blatantly sloppy, you know? And I'm laughing thinking about, you know, actors being like, yeah, man, ever since my show got canceled, I've been doing some crisis acting. You know, I was a dead gay guy in Orlando. It's really funny despite the complete psychotic agenda of it, but you got to laugh at it or else what are you going to do? This is reality, you know?
Or not. It is what we're being told is reality.
Well, that's what I mean, so though. It's all about, like, okay, it's comparable to being in Vegas with all those people trying to hand out flyers to you. Just don't take the flyer. You know, the reality is there's some really powerful people in the world that apparently are psychotic magicians. So the reality is we have to develop a discernment and an armor to be able to say, oh, that's a trick. You know, it's kind of like why magicians don't want anyone to know how they do it, because once they do, they don't like the show anymore. And so that's, I think, what we do, because the Justice Department, we all know you can't really do anything except for show people the trick so that it doesn't deliver the dose of fear and boogeyman that's intended. And that's pretty much my goal, you know?
Yeah, mine as well. I mean, my intention is that one day, hopefully soon, when something like that is being pulled off and there's this massacre happen, I really hope that people are going to stand and just laugh and point and my God, check it out, the amount of ketchup being used. Come on. It's like, you must be joking. Do you really think you're going to scare me with that crap? The thing you asked before, do they do it on purpose? It's a really good question because I'm still asking myself the same. When you look at the JFK assassination, that is a conspiracy that is mind-blowingly well pulled off. I mean, so multi-layered, so well carried out. I mean, when you look at how, and it's used as an example of how to assassinate someone for schools for assassins, you know, because it was a masterpiece. We're still confused after 50 odd years, you know, but 9/11 also, I mean, to pull that one off, oh my God, very impressive. And then you have these ones where it just comes, but I think it's because I really believe that their empire, this dark empire, is shattering, it's falling apart, and they are freaking out, and that's why they need to ramp it up. This, you know, not that many years ago, they could just, like what David Icke calls stepping stone, a little here, a little there, a little here. It's still moving forward, and we don't understand what's going on, but we just feel like more and more trapped without – there's just – I don't know why I'm feeling trapped. I don't really feel too well because a little here, a little – but now it's full speed ahead. It's like being up against a Sherman tank right in your face, and I think that is because they're freaking out because so many people are waking up now. So
well, yeah, a confidence scam requires confidence. I think what happened is these vampiric entities were sucking on trust and like the good nature of the trusting. It's so similar to people that predate children. And so when you're in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and you're like, why would the government lie? Like, I'm just going to work hard. Like, they said it, you know, someone in a lab coat told me. At this point, they've sucked so much of that they're running low. It's almost like a drug addict that just keeps needing more and more drugs. And then they can do a whole bag of coke and fall asleep, you know? And I think that they're one trick pony of like shock, fear, media control. Well, guess what? Now people don't trust the media. So that doesn't, it's like the guy can cheat on his girl. If she trusts him, as soon as she doesn't trust him anymore, it's like, where were you? Where if the girl trusts him, he can say anything. And she's like, oh, okay. And that's what I think we're seeing right now. So you think that their empire is falling? It's not. I agree with you completely because a lot of people that I know are in this fear state and they think that the beast is about to win. You know, they're at the finish line. Everything's about to get locked down and they're going to kill everybody. I'm like, this is the actions of a hurt animal, not an in control animal.
I think the dragon is already slain. I think we're seeing the tail just go all over the place in like spasms. Like really hitting everywhere, because when you start identifying the key people that are involved in this, I'm not talking about the absolute top or the bottom of this pyramid. I mean the absolute down, 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 down. But because I don't know who is in there, I sometimes feel it's the devil himself. I don't know, but it's like exactly. It's like pure evil.
Yeah.
So what is it about? I don't know, but. When you see the people that are we can identify, we're down to a few thousand, maybe 8,000 in total, you know. And then you look at the rest of the world, we're like billions, billions. And it's sort of like when you look at it mathematically, it's like a grain of sand, just like I heard you say, thing. You know, it's like a grain of sand on a beach. It's like, why do we even listen? There's an amazing little animation called The Tiny Dot, and you can find it on YouTube. Brilliant, brilliant. It shows you exactly what is going on and how they try to control us. And it's like The Wizard of Oz. That's another one that would just tell you the truth. You know, Dorothy used to live at home in harmony and peace. We used to be in harmony and peace back in Eden or before we ate the apple or whatever. And then this storm and thunder and everything, this hurricane she's just thrown in some weird country way far from Oklahoma or wherever it was she landed. And then her whole trip is to find back home, to find back in harmony and peace, exactly what we're doing now.
Yep.
And what does she need? She meets these friends on the way. And the thing is, the lion without courage is the... it's the tin man without a brain.
Without a heart.
Is he without the heart?
He's without the heart,
and then,
yeah.
And what is the
scarecrow? The scarecrow without a brain.
Scarecrow, yeah. So it's intelligence, compassion, and courage. These are the three ingredients. And then the whole thing is to meet your fear. In this case, it's the Wizard of Oz. And so you have to face it. That's the thing. It's so uncomfortable. I hate facing my fears. I think it's really scary. I don't like the feeling at all. But that's the way, that's the doorway to wherever you want to go, to not liberation, to freedom. There's a difference between liberation and to free. But anyway, so she has to face it, and she faces it in the form of this wizard. And once she gets into this big, big castle, there's this voice just saying, I'm powerful and you're weak, you know, scaring the living. And everybody no one dares to get close except Dorothy and her little dog. And then she starts seeing this cable that goes under a curtain. And she has the courage to face it and pull the curtain. And what is behind that? A weak little old guy, that's the so-called elite, with a microphone that the media and a massive amplifier.
Yeah.
And that's the whole propaganda machine. We're up against extremely weak individuals.
Yep.
I mean, who, and with no courage, with no backbone, I mean, who would do things like they do to small children and stuff? I mean, come on, that is beyond human dignity on any kind of level. What is that? And they haven't got a lot of imagination. You can see that.
Yeah.
And they haven't got compassion, so they don't understand what's going on. When they hurt someone or us, and then somebody else steps up, they don't have it in them. They don't understand how we are set up, you know, normal, healthy human beings. So we have a massive advantage on them. And the thing is, the light wins. I tell you that one.
Yeah, and also, it's like what you just described in Wizard of Oz. The reason people would always watch the movies is for the bits of truth they would always put in it. And the reason that they don't watch movies now is because they're terrified to put any truth in them, and that's why movies all suck. Like even Dark Knight, that first scene with the Joker is how they compartmentalize crime. They're showing it to you, and that's what draws you to watch these archetypal movies. But now I think they're feeling so scared and so cornered that they can't put any of the truth in the movie, because then it's just so obvious now, you know?
I don't know, Owen. I don't know. But I'm at a point where I think if you look for the truth, you will have to find it in movies. If you look for absolute fantasy, just go to mainstream media.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the best news there is The Onion and Babylon Bee. Like, satire is now accurate news, and news is the joke. And it's just the complete reversal, the upside down. And and I think that it can help people to understand. And what you've done is so helpful, man. Like, you've done this for so long, trying to reveal the truth to people. Because the reason it's so important isn't that we can get these people in jail and all this stuff. That's so hard. And people get, we can talk about some of the people that have been killed over that. But what you can do is, instead of paving the world, you can wear shoes. You know, that's like an old East Asian saying, you know, where when you know what they're doing and what their goals are, and just in general terms, and what the emotional response they want from you, you know, that's when I stopped watching pornography, was when I realized it was a weapon against me. It wasn't like just something. It was like, oh, they're trying to drain me. They're trying to emasculate me. They're trying to keep men in this position. And so once I saw it as a weapon, I quit watching porn. It's been easy. But if you don't see it as a weapon, it's a lot harder. And I think that this fear weapon, what you're doing is helping people thrive in it. Because, like, the genocide is people not having kids, people being too scared to bring a child in this world. Like, the ultimate deep state hit squad is women with so much fear and despair that they kill their own babies. You know, and if they were operating on more better information with compassion, and that They're not going to die from the latest Alex Jones or CNN nonsense. They wouldn't do that, you know? And it's like one very hopeful thing someone emailed me yesterday was this coronavirus nonsense. She works in a doctor's office, and she said everyone just is mocking it. Like, they're just rolling their eyes like, oh, another pandemic. Okay, you know, and that's it. You know, when you don't emotionally engage in it anymore, the vampire doesn't feed, and it just shrinks, you know?
And that's exactly it. That is exactly it. And I'm touched by your words, because I put my life on the line. I put my family on the line and so on to put this information forward, because it is, you know, like if you see a chef program, a Master Chef, and you get a spoon of sauce and they say, so what's in it? And I mean, in a program like that, I would be totally useless. I would say, well, milk and soy sauce, I don't know, you know. But in this area, it's the exact same thing, because I call it a terror pie, you know, and there are specific ingredients in mass shootings, there are specific ingredients in alleged terror attacks, and they're very similar. And also top political murders, they're built up very similar. So once you start seeing, okay, the recipe is step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the ingredients needed to carry out one of these things. Then after a while, I mean, this is, I've done, there's like one presentation, it's called, that I'm proud of, it's called Terror. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
And you awesome. Can find it on YouTube. It's one of the few ones they don't shut down. I don't know why, but I'm grateful for that. But in that, I just show the ingredients step by step by step by step so that people can start seeing for themselves. And it's gone so far that my last name now is being turned into a verb, apparently. You know, to find the clues and about an upcoming event and expose it before it happens, hopefully, is called Damagarling. Hashtag Damagarling.
And that's amazing.
I mean, I think that's amazing. I'm now aiming to become an adjective as well, or whatever you call that.
Just don't become a pronoun. and this is the thing. I thought that was all nonsense until I looked into your work. When people used to say, oh, 11-3 Seattle, it's coming. I'm like, you're just fear-mongering. And then, because I'm like, no, I've never seen anyone predict any of this. And then people turn me on to you. And so, yeah, I was wrong about that. You actually have seen the patterns and potentially stopped some of these. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. And the Seattle one was one that I said is not going to happen, because so many people were aware of it. I mean, so many people were pumping this whole thing out. So that was a total red herring, I said. So I was looking everywhere else. Everybody else was looking at Seattle. I got like 100 emails, Seattle, Seattle, meaning, okay, fine. If it is that one, we've already blown that cover, so that's not going to happen. But in my version, my world, that was a diversion. So what? Look over here. The same now with the Charlottesville, the recent one, but suddenly Craigslist, everybody was like, oh, that one. I was looking over here.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they work. It's deception. It's smoke and mirrors. They don't do it that openly. But let me rewind a little bit. In 2014, I was contacted by an insider. I don't know who that was, an anonymous person, who said that he had been following me for some years. And he said, you're doing great, but you are missing the clues. And I was like, what? He said, you're missing the hidden clues. I said, what do you mean hidden clues? He said, the people in this business, they always leave hidden clues about the upcoming attack. Sometimes dots connecting forward and also backwards to earlier ones. And I said, but why on earth would they do such a stupid thing? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. He said, it's because the law of karma. And so I said, okay. I mean, the law of karma is what you do comes back to you, meaning you do something bad, it will hit you. It will hit you somehow in the future. Life will get back to you. Just, it's nothing evil from life. It's just that that's the way the universe works. So, but he said the way that they interpret these things, and they're doing so much mayhem in the world. So, I mean, they're really building up a lot of bad karma. He said that the way they understand it is that if they tell us, even in subtle ways, what they're going to do, and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. Mm-hmm. And he said, in addition, if they show us, we do not react, and they manage to pull it off, that even gains good karma on their shoulders. So there, it's for their sake, totally selfish ways, that they need to show it to us. You know, for them, they don't care about us. It's for themselves that they want need to share. So I thought, yeah, right. I'm contacted by a lot of strange people. I have no idea who they are. But I mean, I put it there. And I have like almost 2.5 terabytes of perfectly sorted evidence in all major cases, small cases, mass shootings, you name it, in perfect order with subfolders in the hundreds and stuff. You can access it on my website as well. It's called Ole's Research Vault, and but for a cost. I mean, it's like a major part of my life that has been put into that. But there you can get access to all of it. Anyway, so what I did was I put in one of these folders, and then I started seeing that there were like four locations that kept popping up in strange ways. It was Dublin, Ireland. It was Paris, France. It was Copenhagen, Denmark. And it was Florence in Italy. And then there was an alleged ISIS attack on a power plant outside Dublin. So I didn't really react. It failed. I didn't really react. And then came Charlie Hebdo on the 9th of January 2015, the shooting in France, in Paris, France. So I was like, wait a second, Dublin, Paris? That's two out of four. So that was the first time I stepped forward saying that please, I sent out sort of like a mass email and on Facebook. I said, if you know anything about any drills in central Copenhagen around this date, please let me know. And so somebody emailed me back saying, it's very funny that you say this, because I was just on my way back from home, from work, and I saw this poster about a military drill being carried out in central Copenhagen tonight. So I was like, oh, my God. I went out on some of the major shows in the U.S., alternative media, saying, please be aware, Copenhagen, 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 that train station, it's a Nørreport station, very central one, because that was where the drill was going to be. So I said, it's going to be somewhere very close to that place. This was pumped out, and nothing happened. So I thought, okay, fine, I look like an absolute idiot, not a problem. I mean, I did my best. I only want people not to get hurt. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
So I thought that I failed. But then exactly 1 month later, on the date, the same time that I predicted, in the same exact location, but on Valentine's Day, on the 14th of February, was a mass shooting in Copenhagen. That was the first one I pinpointed. So from then on, I started seeing, okay, that's three out of four. So I pumped out about Florence, Italy, because that was number four. And the clues I found to these four places was a very, very weird tweet that was sent out, a very bizarre image with these four cities. I can send it to you. That was sent out from an Israeli embassy, and very, very odd. There was this text says, Israel now, Dublin next. Then it said, Israel now, Paris next. Israel now, Copenhagen next. Israel now, Italy next. So not discreet. Anyway, so I pumped out and warned about Florence and Italy, saying, please, if there's any drills there, go there, bring your cameras, especially the day before this drill is going to take place, and film whoever is there setting the whole thing up. What I'm saying is film the crew that is preparing for this attack and make it very obvious that they are being filmed. You know, don't hide your cameras. Stand in a long row with cameras just saying, we see you. We know what you're up to. Back off, get a life, go home, and leave us alone. That is the message I want to send. And I also informed them about at that time there was this app called Bamboozle, I think, that when you filmed, you could just click on that one and you would go straight live on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there. But I said, in case somebody approaches you, even though they have a police uniform, doesn't mean that they are actually police. They could very well be part of this group, and you can get hurt. So just when you say, when if you're approached by an aggressive person in a uniform, just say, please, sir, before you're going to bash my head in, just know that you're being filmed and it's live on YouTube. That has a very cooling effect on most of these individuals. So anyway, I warned about Florence and nothing happened. But the day after that, on the 15th of February, I believe, 2015, or the 19th, there was a big article in Italy saying that there was this attack, ISIS attack. They always blame it on ISIS, but ISIS is just their own boogeyman, their creation. Anyway, failed attack in Florence, Italy. So I knew, boom, that is another one. And from that point on, I knew that these clues are, it's true, they are hidden there. It's just a matter of finding them. So that sent me up on this quest for finding clues, which I've been on ever since. And my intention is to predict them and stop them by pointing it out on international radio. I've done between 500 and 1,000 international interviews, not pointing these things, but in total. But pointing out these things before they happen, because like CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum, who was part of doing false flags in his career, he said that the timeline these people have with these agendas are very tight. You know, something that happened in Paris can be part of getting people to applaud, for instance, the bombings of Syria, and the bombings of Syria can affect Ukraine, and the Ukraine can affect the politics against North Korea, and all of these. So he said that every time somebody messes the timeline up, it can take them months to regroup. So I say, let's keep messing up the timeline. I tell you, let's just mess it up for them. And since then, I have 19 confirmed attacks that I exposed up to 2 months before they actually happened. So there, it's recorded. One of them was on Mike Williams, Sage of Quay. I love Michael. He's great. Mm-hmm. And we did one month before the alleged terror attack on Westminster Bridge in London. I went out on his show saying, Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben. That was on the 22nd of February 2017, I think. And on the 23rd or 22nd of March, 22nd of March 2017, exactly 1 month later, boom, Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben. So I have 19 confirmed, and I stopped several of them. I know that for a fact. But there is a question mark up to 59 of these that I might have exposed before they went down. So it's like, either I have a crystal ball, because you can go in on my website, lightandconspiracies.com, check out the newsletter or sign up for that one, and you can go into the archives and you will see, that's where I predicted it, boom, that's when it happened. That's when I predicted it, boom, that's when it happened. So it's confirmed, it's not me saying stuff. And so, this is what I try to do, and yeah, well, I hope that I'm making life a lot harder for them than it was before.
Well, yeah, because it's also, you're not involved in the darkness of it. So that's one thing I want to tell people too, is so many people get so paranoid if they're like, I did a video saying Hillary Clinton might have killed somebody and now I have to look out my window. I'm like, their predator reaction, like they are psychopaths, like they don't care about human life, but it's about if someone can put them in prison, if someone is trying to take their criminal enterprise, or just like fodder in one of their grand magician tricks, but to not want anything from them and not want to kill them and not want to put them in prison. If you just help people see the patterns, you know, there's something going on where you're like allowed to do that, and it shouldn't instill any fear, because you're just looking at the patterns of predatory animals. And when people can see the pattern, I did that with comedy persuasion, you know, with Seinfeld. I did a whole episode called like Four Psychopaths with a Laugh Track, where I would show that without the laugh track, it's like really bad people being really bad to other people. And that the laugh track is the conditioning mechanism of the psychological warfare to bring in a new idea or reality to a population. And once you see it, it no longer works. Like once you see the agendas in commercials, it just becomes pathetic. And I think people should really stay away from hatred and stick with pathetic or compassion. Like, look at them as sad, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, because if you engage with hate, they smell it. And I don't know how else to put it, but there is like this, it's almost like the ring in The Hobbit, where when you put it on, like the dark ones, like, no, someone put it on. So that's one thing you've done that's so valuable for me and for a lot of people, is showing how to not engage emotionally with it and not, you know, like the fact that you have people that contact you in these agencies and they're just normal people who think they're doing something good, and you don't trigger their fear response and people, you know, you've been threatened a lot because you're making a lot of waves, but I just think that's important for people to stay away from fear, because if you engage in fear and hate, and we all have, but it gives them a scent to track you with, you know?
Yeah, but also that fear and hate is there. That's their weapon against us.
Right.
So if we go into them, they have won. You know, they control us. And the thing is that a free spirit, that you cannot control a free spirit. You know, that is the hardest one for them. And this is, there is, of course, a risk to do these things, to dig into these things. But now we're talking millions and millions. I'm frontline because I've been doing this for so many years.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where the blowback, if they take me out, the blowback will be bigger for them, because it will be so obvious that what I said was true. Do you know, so they're, I tell you, I think that they're like, oh my God, we should have done it before. But thank God they didn't. So you have to be aware of the risks, but I think most people are not in a risk zone. It's like when you're really sort of at this arrow point, the point of
the tip of the spear.
Where, yeah, it's not that you put a thumbs up on Facebook or whatever.
Right.
It will be registered. It will be registered. But the thing is, what are our options? You know, either we are afraid and then we lie down and we just wait that they will rape us or do whatever they want, or we stand up and we excel and we impress ourselves and we become proud of ourselves and we take back all these beautiful values that used to be worth something, like your word and trustworthiness and bravery and courage and compassion, these things. And then we make a difference, because this is a mandatory course. You know, they will not go away if we don't transcend it.
Oh, exactly. It's absolute, dude, that's the thing, is there's no way to avoid it. You know, some people that want to keep their heads down, and I'm not saying to like rise up and be violent or anything like that, but if you stop speaking truth, especially to yourself, because you're scared you're going to end up on a list, that's the worst list you can be on, because you're already weak. And as you just pointed out with this karma thing, they feel you deserve it. The irony of a lot of this stuff is some of these people, I bet, have more respect for Ali than the person who just says, oh, I mean, the Las Vegas shooting checks out. That's exactly how life works, because they see you as just cattle. Where if you can think for yourself, that's what their karmic test is. They create it. It's not real, but this is what people do. You know, like a sexual predator with women you'll hear them speak about how women are asking for it, or look at this whore, she's dressed like a whore, you know, because they're trying to justify in their head what they want to do. So if you feed them that narrative, if you're already like, it's like, look at this guy, he thinks the building 7 just fell down, of course we can just take everything from him. You know, there is that element where if you stand up for yourself, predators are all weak, like rapists are weak. Like anybody that doesn't want consent from a woman is a pathetic man. So be the woman that, you know, like a woman with in a rapist situation, like be the woman that the guy would be like, now, there's men who care about her. I'm just going to go with somebody that's drunk and alone, you know? Like, just, they're cowards. They're coyotes. They feed off the dead. So be strong. Mm-hmm. And the truth is much stronger than the lie. And if you try to fight them with the lies and the hate, it's kind of like Bane from the movie, from that Batman, where he's like, you think you live in darkness? I was born in it. You know, where it's like, they'll beat you in the shadow game, you know?
But also energy-wise, you know, the truth is so simple. It there's no effort. It's just the way it is. It's just standing there shining, sometimes covered up by a lot of conspiracies and lies, but the truth is there. But to move a conspiracy, you know, you have to cover this up, and then you have to cover that up, and then, oh my God, there's a somebody is starting to leak information over here, and then they start killing each other, and they're paranoid, and then and they have to keep covering that the tracks on top of the tracks of the truck. It's like pushing a massive big old Mack truck, you know, by hand, compared to the truth that just so smooth and so clean and so wonderful.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
I'm totally in love with truth, I tell you.
I love that, man.
Owen, there's a song lyric that I made, I wrote many years ago, that I find could be suitable here, if it's okay if I read it to you.
Of course.
Okay, it's the song, I released it in 1997. It's from my solo album called From Prison to Paradise. You can find it on Spotify. Just search my name there, or on my website as well, lightonconspiracies.com, where you can listen to it for free as well. So there's this song called From Prison to Paradise, which was a saying that I met David Icke in 1996 before. I had no idea who this guy was, and I was only there because I was asked to. The person who arranged the talk was so ashamed that there was so few people that came to this talk, you know, because nobody knew about the guy. And so we were there, a handful of people, and oh my God, that was a turning point in my life. The 3 hours when I listened to him in 96, where before the reptilian stuff and all of these things, he just put the whole top of the pyramid in position, and that was just amazing. So I took this expression from him, from prison to paradise, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There were lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation, with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders disguised as kind of true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in deaths and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came times of change. This is now. But then came times of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down, starting with the men in the mirror staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Unhappiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts so we together can rejoice when the final change comes to its start. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Turning prison into paradise may seem too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, it's we the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it? Wake up, wake up. We gotta wake up now.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. And that's the thing. It's like just, I heard this great, great quote that one soul walking with God is the majority. You know, because a lot of truth people can be very frustrated thinking there's 100 million people completely asleep. Like until they see this stuff, we're screwed. But you seeing stuff and you living your life with love and truth and enjoying yourself and having a family and stuff like that, that's the battle. The battle is what you just described. It's against the individual soul and the lie, you know. And it's a beautiful thing, and there's no rest for the wicked. So they have, it's almost like the evil has this like really old crappy car, and they constantly have to maintain it. And they're like, oh, there was someone witnessed the bull. Oh God, oh, he had a mistress. The mistress knows. Oh God. And then the truth is just, you know, just the bicycle or the car that just never breaks. And you're like, well, you know, you have a really fancy Ferrari that never starts. Like, you constantly have to work at it. And so the beauty is, if they just fall, like if they just get weak for a little amount of time, the human soul will go back, like what you're talking about with children. Like the truth is the truth. And that's why, David and Goliath is such a powerful story, because, you know, the little guy with the truth can beat the big scary giant. And that's so applicable to every aspect of our life. Like they're only big and scary, but they're operating on bad information. Like imagine if your hands didn't know like where the table was and you just were always operating on bad information. Anything could take you down. And that's where they're at, I think.
Yeah, and what can I say? The only one you can change is you.
Exactly.
I learned that the hard way, I tell you that one. And so what can I do? I can only focus on myself. And I've just come to a point, I used to be very scared and paranoid. I mean, when you start seeing people getting murdered around you, that is scary. The reason why I live in Spain is because we left Sweden very quickly, almost, after two of my friends died in mysterious ways. I had a visit at home as well. I mean, not fun at all. Yeah. I hate being afraid. And so we moved here. We started from absolute scratch, and then we've been living in like a soap bubble ever since then. But I came to a point where I just felt, I don't like being afraid. I do not like this feeling. It makes me smell. It makes me, tensed. I don't like it. I don't like it. So I came to a point where I decided I'm going to let it go. I had some very near death situations where I thought I was going to die. And after that, I just came to a term with it, I think, where I just made peace with that. Well, I am going to die. Apparently, they say one day it's over and done with. I don't know. Until the day I die, I will see that I will live forever. Who cares? I mean, who knows? I don't know, reincarnation or not. But what I felt is I refuse to live in fear. So on my website, you can find my address. I don't use encrypted emails. I don't use any kind of protection. I don't have a gun. I go, the only protection I have when I go out, and I meet the SWAT teams or military or whatever at these sites, is that I'm unarmed. I'm standing arms down. And I know that if I, for instance, if they approach me in an aggressive way, if I start arguing with them, I'm lost. You know, they won. Or if they start fighting with me, I'm lost. I mean, they're a lot stronger than I am. They've got weapons and all kinds of bulletproof underpants, whatever. I have nothing. So the only power I have is to be fearless and just stand in truth. And I tell you, it's magical. The times when I manage to stay true to these values in these difficult situations, magic has happened. It's really quite. Can I give you a few examples?
Absolutely.
Because I really think this is interesting, at least for me, and it makes life very exciting. It's when if I get approached by somebody aggressive, let's say somebody with a SWAT team type of person who just wants to see me dead or at least badly hurt. The thing is that this individual sees me as the enemy. He has no idea.
Yeah.
He has been told that is the enemy. Destroy him. That is his orders. He's been inside a van. Most probably they're sitting listening to death metal music really loud, pumping up, pumping up, pumping up. And then they're let loose like bloodhounds. And here's Mr. Damagod. That is the target. Destroy. So I have absolutely no defense against someone like that. You know, logically, I'm dead meat. But what I've done, there's two times that I managed to do this, is that I stand totally hands down, because if you have any kind of stance, like a fighting stance, or you put your hands up, that will be looked as an aggression.
Yep.
Or if you walk straight towards them, that's aggression. It's like with wild animals or predators. You have to sort of, sometimes if I approach such a person, I turn around, and I'm sort of pretending I'm speaking to someone, and then I walk slowly backwards, bumping into him, because that makes them come off guard. instead of if I walk straight to them and I look them straight in the eye, that is an act of aggression in their world. You know, so things like that, I never approach them straight on. I just stumble into them or fall over them or whatever. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's sort of like, okay, breaks the ice. But there's been two times where there've been this aggression in the air, and their eyes are so black. I don't know if when you see somebody who is so angry, their eyes are black, there's no one home. And so what I do is I totally focus on seeing the divine in him. I know this sounds really new agey.
No,
I don't care.
It works
for me.
It's great.
So what I'm looking for is the human spark in him. It's really a spark, because in these black eyes, there's no light. There's nothing. It's just this almost demon-possessed individual that is just swallowed by violence, you know. So I focus, I arms down, totally relaxed, and I keep my mind. It's so important that I keep my mind out of fear. So I have like a mantra, and the thing that I repeat is, he's divine, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's divine, he's somebody's mother, no brother, he's somebody's father, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's divine. And I do that, I keep repeating that, so my mind, that can only think one thought at a time, cannot go into fear mode. Because if I leave my mind alone, I will freak out. I mean, I would just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's not where I want, because that's when I get hurt.
Yeah.
So I stand and I look, I just focus on his eyes. And what I'm looking for is this human spark. And when you see it, what happens is really interesting, because, like, for instance, you have like the one time there was this guy who wanted to hit me in the head with some kind of this military bat or whatever. And I was just looking for that thing. And what happens is that this very aggressive individual suddenly gets afraid. You see this hesitance, like, why is he not afraid? Why is he not bending over? Because the only thing he knows is controlled by force. He to bully people, to push them down, to destroy them. That's his normal day of dialogue. Yeah. And here's someone that is not answering, that is not listening. And so there's this hesitation, and then you start seeing a flickering of fear of what's going on here. And then it is right after that, the two times I've seen it, it's like a tiny little light explosion in their eye. Boom. And I know it, at that millisecond, when I see that, boom, I've reached to him, I've broken through his armor, and I've found his humanity. Does this make sense to you?
It's beautiful, man. It's so true, man. And like, people in the chat are saying, I've seen that, I've never heard anyone articulate it like that. I get that with comedy, you know, like it's a much different situation, but to see someone, like I've performed in inner city and Cleveland Improv, and I remember one time, you know, the whole front, just 90% black, but the front row, I knew it was like gang black, you know? And like, cause you have the different color hat than the city, you know, the diamond earrings. And I was calling the guy like a pretty princess with his diamond earrings. And man, they just started buckling over laughing. And I was like, oh, he said it's the pretty princess. And man, it's like, that's one reason why some people don't understand my comedy. When I'll comedy is a cultural language. And so when you break through into that culture with like black people love in general, they love, like insult kind of alpha comedy where, you know, your mom is so fat stuff, you know, Jewish people prefer sarcasm in general. Canadians like weird, like, kind of weird comedy. The Irish like long stories with a big payoff, you know, it's a language. So when I see this killer and he's laughing, then after he's like, yo, oh dog, man, we got to hang out. And the same, then I'll go to Virginia Beach and I'm hanging out with Navy SEALs, you know, same thing. And then I'll go to Southern Texas and I'm hanging out with cowboys and these Mexicans, you know, that, you know, and I'm like, this is that spark that you're talking about. Cause they're, you know, one of the biggest fears people have is public speech. That's one reason why I was so drawn to what you were talking about, because there is something to being in front of 1,000 drunk people. You know, 20 want to kill you because their girl's laughing too hard. That guy clearly is in a gang. You know, and when you see them laugh again, it's almost like you see them as a child. And that's one reason why I know things will be okay, because I've gotten to see that. And when people, you know, talk about different groups and stuff, I'm like, well, when I was in so-and-so, I thought they were great. You know, because it's the people. It's kind of like when you're in these situations, the FBI, CIA, NATO, all this stuff, most of them are just dudes like us. You have some puppet masters that have understood how to manipulate based on weak points and propaganda and trauma and stuff. But, you know, most of these people are simply just, they're looking to feed their family, laugh. They think they're operating on bad information, you know, and that's one reason why I just don't really get despair, because, like, I've been in really, you know, drunk biker bars. I used to be a heckler at a Renaissance fair. I performed the O2 Arena in front of 12,000 people. Like, people, that spark that you just described is there, you know, and that's why it gives me a lot of hope. Like, one time you said, my brain says we're screwed, but my heart says we're going to be okay. And, man, I just really relate to that.
But the thing is, Owen, it's the fearlessness. If you had said that with any type of hesitation or any type of malintent, when you said that, whatever you insulted him, you would have been screwed. But the fearlessness of you just expressed yourself without seeing him as the enemy, you know. Yeah. That is the thing that suddenly saves you, because otherwise, they would string you up and nail you to the floor or the door. I mean, you have been in front of lynch mobs if you do it in the wrong way.
Literally.
So I applaud you for doing literally. So I really applaud what you're doing. And it's amazing that you can see, because we're talking about the same thing. It's just that this is a gang member, that's a member of the police, that's a member of NATO,
right.
That's an assassin. You know, it's and it's like, so you see, okay, he's a serial killer. Well, he's a butcher over there. What's the difference? He has killed like 1,000 cows, and he has killed 1,000 people. Do you know, like, and you go to India, the butcher there that's killed 1,000 cows, he's the monster. But in our civilization, he is the monster. It gets very confusing.
Yeah, like gangs, and like so, like city gangs, for example, instead of mergers and acquisitions, it's murders and executions, you know, like. Some of these gang members, I see a corporate employee, except they, and like, it's the same metaphor. You know, it's kind of like what you're describing, yeah. Where he's like, a lot of these killers, and I've hung out with killers too, not the same level as you with like the deep state stuff, but like, he'll kill you if you try and take his corner, or if you publicly disrespect him because his status will go down and he's more threatened. Like, they're killers, but they're not just here to just kill you. You know, it's like, if you're not their prey, a lot of them can be good guys. And when you look at how the corporate world kills with bankruptcies and hostile takeovers and all that stuff, like, you just, people have desensitized themselves to like 1,000 dads just lost their pension. You know, like, that's like war. You know, if you take away, like what Bernie Madoff did to like all these people's retirement, it's like, that's a form of murder in certain ways, where people will die if you take their ability to provide for themselves. And people are like, oh, it's just business. I'm like, yeah, same with some of these inner city shootings. That's why when people say it's all black on black crime, I'm like, yeah, it's all, those are business acquisitions, and they're operating in the way they know how, whereas the corporate world operates with shell companies and legalese and all these arguments. They operate with force. And it's like, When you understand that, you know, people will say stuff to guys like us and be like, why are you not afraid? It's like, dude, I have fear in me. Like, I'm not a sociopath, but like, I know there's nothing to really be afraid of, because I've been in these like environments, and they're still just people, you know. It's like, there is that spark in everybody. And I know that there's some people that I'm not saying that there isn't evil people and all this stuff, but it's like, so much of our fear programming is absolutely not true. And so I know that, you know that, but yet we're still facing this illusionary monolith of fear and trauma and control and all this stuff. And that's why best thing people can do is laugh, do what you enjoy, have children, like your community, you know, mock the wicked. They hate mockery. They hate it. It's a great weapon. Yeah.
Yeah, and see through their games. I mean, undress them, you know, just like the emperor's new clothes. See, my God, he's got no clothes
on.
It's because like when you're, I really like speaking to you because we're in different arenas, but at the same time, so many similarities.
Exactly.
Because it's like, I trust Hell's Angels a hell of a lot more than a politician.
Yeah,
because
totally.
You can see who he is. He's not hiding, you know, or a gang member. He's not hiding. He's saying, this is me. This is what I stand for. You step on my toes, I will shoot you. Okay, fine. Then I know the name of the game. But these ones, these multi-faced, snaky, manipulative, spineless, power-hungry individuals that don't want to do the dirty work themselves but order other people to do it. These ones, them I have a major problem with.
Yeah.
A major, major, major problem with. And so, I think it was fun. You said this, most people are afraid of speaking in front of people. I mean, it's only like 5-6 years ago. No, it's a little more, maybe 8. When I was shaking, crying, just as, you know, standing in front of a crowd, it freaked me out. It was the worst thing that I could think of. I avoided funerals because I knew they wanted me to say things. It was that bad. And then I met the fear, and through the fear, meeting that, the door opened, and boom, here I am today speaking to, I don't know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
So. And then it's like once you're on the other side of that door, you get a kick from it because your soul wants it. You have this, I think that's where the fear comes in. Your ego is trying to block you from blossoming and becoming your full self. So it's trying to stop you, shut you down where you're under control of your ego as well. And so once you liberate yourself from that, the more you do that, the freer you become in all situations. And it's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah. And one reason people get scared of public speech is they feel that the validation will come from the audience. And once you get past that and you know that if they don't laugh, that's all right. And if they might not have a good sense of humor, or maybe you're wrong or whatever. Like, as soon as you accept that you're not getting your validation from the audience, you're not defined by your audience. If they don't laugh, it doesn't mean you're not funny, but you should rethink some of your jokes. Once you do that, all the fear goes away. It's like that with social shame, you know? Well, you got kicked off Twitter and Facebook. Aren't you embarrassed? It's like, no. And a lot of people have been inspired, oddly, by people who bash me. Like, if you go on Reddit, it's like, Owen's this, Owen. It's just like a den of vipers. And the fact it doesn't bother me, people are like, oh, wait, we can just not be bothered by that? I'm like, yeah, you're not. If it's not true, who cares? Like, if they say, you know, Owen's secretly working for this, or Owen, you know, people like us will always get stuff like that. Or like, Owen beats his dog was a big one. And they're like, why don't you react? And I'm just like, because I don't. And I'm like, I'm not defined by them. And when you accept the truth, where you're like, the truth just is, you know, and that's why these spineless, manipulative, subjective, like, oh, hate speech. What is hate speech? It's anything we hate. You know, these nebulous, like, terms and conditions are so hard to understand, but they don't have the truth. So it will always fall apart. You know, they're always operating on bad information because their ego creates reality. It's this loop where they go, well, I believe it, so it must be right, therefore you're wrong. Like, my will, my ego says that it's true, so anyone who says not must be wrong, because the given I'm operating under is I'm right. When you submit to the fact that you don't get to create truth, it's outside of us, and we enjoy pursuing it, all that fear and pain and shame goes away, where they're like, well, you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I don't. And it's like, and what you think of me doesn't matter, you know? And I think that's a real good place for people to get a footing, because the social media mind control game is all shame. It's all just like, everyone hates you now. And it's like, okay, I'll say whatever you want. And but once people get past that, it's so beautiful. And people are, you know, people are having a good time. They're homesteading, crushing, having fun. And yeah. Oh, will you tell the people about the shoes? It's so fascinating.
I will, but first I want to salute you, Owen, because I really think that to face crowds like you have been doing, saying things like you have been doing, I mean, that puts you in the face of death, I would call it. It's the same fear, because that could be a lynch mob.
Oh yeah, and it's not even I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's not even about the big overall thing. It's like some of my most dangerous shows wasn't when I'm revealing, you know, hoax shootings. It was just the environment was so hostile. You know, like there's just hostile environments where if you're at a place where people are drunk, you know, you have a spotlight on you, that it's like, that's the thing is like my brother's a lumberjack, you know, it's like he climbs trees for a living and cuts them down. So dealing with fear is a very helpful thing, especially in this world that's, we're being imprisoned by our own fears. So all right, anyway, sorry to cut you off.
No, I just think that fear is really interesting as well, because people say, oh, fear, fear, fear. And I say, so could you please point out some fear to me? Is it over there? Is it green? Is it square? Where is it?
Yeah.
Where is it? I mean, yeah, you're afraid, but I'm not. So how come? And so you have to define where is fear. And fear is only in between your ears. Yeah. It's inside your head. That is where fear is. And it's always connected to the future. It has never anything to do. Okay, it can be fueled by traumas in the past, but you're not afraid of something that had happened. You're afraid of that it will be repeated or something in the future. So where can you deal with fear? It's only in your head. So that's wonderful news, because I'm in charge in there, or at least I think so. Well, most of us are not until we, I mean, many are using the brain like a wild stallion and just goes off all over the place. Yeah. But it's like once you start that, you can actually learn to ride your intellect so that you become the master of it instead of it controlling you. That's when life starts becoming enjoyable.
Yeah.
The shoes. Okay, so. The shoes. So why on earth focus on shoes? I tell you, I have been looking for shoes for years. And the whole thing started many years ago when, since I told you that I collect evidence on all different cases at the same time. This is my daily thing, just downloading, sorting, because nowadays also they keep deleting it. And speaking of hate speech, I get closed down everywhere because of hate speech.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm that hateful, but what do I know? Anyway, so I kept bumping into these shoes. There were so many crime scenes where cordon off areas with police tape, and then a couple of trainers lying there on the road. And I'm like, in the beginning, I didn't really notice it, but then I collected, I had a special folder called shoes, and I just kept filling it up with shoes. And I was like, there's a lot of shoes going on. And like, there was this, it was called the Queen's Day attack in Holland, in the Netherlands. And there, in the middle of the whole crowd, there were like Wellington boots were among the victims. And I was like, how can anyone, I mean, you know how difficult it is to get one of them off. I mean, sometimes you have to be two people to pull them off. How could one of these victims lose a Wellington boot? You know, so, and also the TV commentator was talking about, oh, there are shoes and slippers everywhere. Slippers? In like, what the hell was that? So there are all of these signs in multiple places. We're talking hundreds where the shoes kept repeating. Mm-hmm. And so I was starting to look into the shoes, and I found that the shoes, as far as I know, has, especially from the time of the alleged Holocaust, been used as a sign of death. You know, you have these big mountains of shoes that where we're being told, this is a proof that all of these people died. I would say this is a proof that there is a lot of shoes stacked over there. That's the only thing they prove.
That'd be funny if they tried to do that, and they're like, it's so tragic, and someone's like, well, what happens? Like, one guy died, but he had a lot of shoes. All right, anyway, go on.
Yeah. Anyway, so I started looking into these shoes, and it was like the alleged Holocaust, and you had the Vietnam War, photos of big heaps of shoes, the Six-Day War out in the desert between Israel and Egypt. I mean, boots everywhere. And I was like, if you've been to a desert, I've been to a desert, you will not take off your shoes because your feet will boil. You will be fried. So why on earth would all of these people take off their boots and then run away? It didn't make any sense. Then the Bosnian War, the same big heaps of shoes. And just these shoes, and I started looking for them everywhere. And especially the mass shootings in the U.S., shoes. Alleged shootings outside nightclubs, the Las Vegas shooting, where the symbol of the whole shoe, the New York Times, the front picture of the Las Vegas mass shooting, alleged shooting, was a shoe and a pool of blood next to it. What's up with all of these shoes and how do people lose them? Because like the last time I was shot with a machine gun or whatever, my shoes didn't just fall off, you know, they're attached to my foot. Or they say that people ran so fast that they ran out of their shoes. I quote many quotes, they ran out of their shoes. Like what?
Yeah.
And then like for, I think it was called Dayton, Ohio, there was this alleged mass shooting behind a nightclub in a parking area. And there are 50, I kid you not, 50 shoes in a big heap. And then they say, cordon off, that is the area where all of these people were shot. That is the proof. And it's on all, it's Washington Post, New York Times, and so on. So what's up with the shoes? Because I'm like, could anyone please explain to me, how is this possible? Did these 25 individuals vaporize out of their shoes?
Yeah.
How? So anyway, the shoes. And then some years ago, I was contacted by a Freemason who said that I heard you speak about the shoes, but I just want to let you know that the shoes are part of Freemasonic rituals. We have them in our own lodges when we do our rituals. And this is because there's this Freemasonic part of the agenda behind these operations and the up in the New World Order kind of crap. And so he said that one shoe off means that that individual is doing it voluntarily, just like they do in their own rituals. They pull up the pant leg, the whatever you call it, one of the pant legs. Is that what you say? Anyway, pull up the pants on one leg and take one shoe off. And that is the sign that they do it voluntarily. Two shoes off means that it's a sign of homage to the sacred space where this ritual is being carried out. And I kid you not, when you look at these mass shooting events or mass where cars have driven into crowds, which they've done a lot for the last few years, which is, I can tell you why, it's this vehicle thing. But anyway, so many of the victims are lying without one or two shoes. And sometimes they even nicely put up on the pavement next to the victim and central in the photos. So he said that is a sure sign that there's this Freemasonic part of it behind it. And so I thought, great, I understand now. I see the point what you're making. That's excellent because it's also wordless communication with people around the globe who are in the know. The only thing they need to look out for are the shoes, and then they will know, okay, it's one of our operation. Okay, there's another one. They also use color codes. I tell you that in the U.S., it's deep purple. It's it can be anything from the hair color of a witness to anything in the middle of the photo. It's very often very central. It's also the George Soros Purple Revolution. In Europe, when the attacks are here, it's purple, but it goes more to the magenta area. I don't know why, but they just do use these different ones. Anyway, so I kept talking about that. Because also, I think it was used just also like a business card, you know, like in Vietnam when they put when they were killing Viet Cong soldiers, they put the Ace of Spades as a business card, you know, just also fear mongering. Yeah. I think so when these killing squads were out there killing all of these people, they put the ace of spade, the card of death. And so here we have this whole thing. And then I was doing, about a year ago or two ago, I was doing a show together with my friend, former Black Ops contractor, Cody Snodgrass, who has been a badass big time. He was working as almost like Mission Impossible for more than 20 years under the Clinton administration. And someone I would love to come on the show together, on your show, the two of us together. I think that could be interesting for you. But anyway, he has been involved in all kinds of different operations, all kinds. And he was also involved in different MKUltra operations. And MKUltra is mind control operation, where you break down an individual so that the aim is for this individual to be under your control. You break them down, and in the end, they're just a wreck, a human wreck that can be controlled. And so what they found out through the 50s and 60s during horrible experiments is that if you break down an individual through torture, through rape, through horrible pain, you can split the personality. It's like when the soul cannot take such pain anymore, it's just like a one-cell organism. It just bloops into two. And in this way, through these traumatic events, you can create multiple personalities in one and the same person. But to then be able to control one of these personalities, you need a trigger, something that can pop you into the next one and pop you back. So because that makes it possible that you can have two personalities in one and the same body, and the two personalities do not know about each other, meaning you can have an active assassin and a housewife, and the two of them are not aware of each other. Spooky. So The trigger. So how do they do that? How do they activate this second personality or multiple personality? Through triggers. And the way they do it is like when they inflict these horrific traumatic events on this person, they at the same time, they show the same symbol. They hold it in front of their eyes. It could be like an upside down dolphin. It could be Mary Had a Little Lamb, like a song, it could be like a shoe, and so on. To, in the end, the more they repeat this, in the end, just showing the shoe or the dolphin or the you hearing the song activates the trauma, and you pops into the alternative personality. Thus, that's how they activate it. So it's called a trigger. And you've seen that in many movies, I'm sure, where people, you know, like somebody is making...
Jason Bourne. Like the whole thing is what you're describing, yeah.
Yeah. The Bourne Identity movies, like Chip Tatum, the other CIA whistleblower I know, he said that the Bourne Identity movies are very, very much to the point in many areas. There's a bit of Hollywood on top of it in the action sequences, but otherwise than that, a lot of it is what is actually going on, according to him.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was doing this interview, and then Cody said, listen, I think that there's a whole new level to these shoes, because the way for so many years since the Holocaust, maybe even before, when we're seeing and being told of death and destruction, you have photos of, you know, blown up people and blood and buildings that have been, you know, destroyed. And then you have the shoe, the mass shooting and a shoe, the killing, the rapist of this and that, and a shoe. And after a while, your subconscious will start connecting the shoe with horror, with a traumatic thing. And I spoke to a psychologist as well. He said that the human mind is drawn to its own destruction. So that's why we slow down when we see a car accident. It's like, oh, my God, what's happened? I can't see, but I just want to see. Just let, oh, my God, I saw some blood. And then you pull, the eyes just pull away because it's too horrible to see it. And then the psychologist said your eyes is looking for something familiar to rest on, right, to sort of look onto. And that's where the shoe is. So it's almost like being up against Mike Tyson, where you get like a double boom, boom. You see the horror and you avoid, and boom, you look at the shoe and you get a second one, just the impact. And so what Cody is suggesting, and I totally believe that that is true, that this shoe is a low budget, mass mind control, global trigger. It's beyond languages, it's super cheap, and the only thing you have to do is repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and then you will get the impact, not only on the people on location, but anyone that sees it will be affected. It's the same, I don't know in the US, but here in Europe, very often you drive down the highway and there's one shoe.
Yeah.
And like, and you're like, who the hell can drop a shoe in here? How did that happen? But every single car that passes it will notice the shoe and boom, activate this slight little trauma.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing you do in the morning, you get out of bed, you put on your shoes, you put on the news on the radio, mass shootings, killings, rapes, plunder. Oh my God, I don't want to be here. You know, that stress thing on your subconscious, and then you put on your shoes, trigger it again.
Mm-hmm.
So the shoes are very, I would say, a global mind control fear trigger. And once you start becoming aware of these shoes, you will see them over and over and over again. I've got one presentation on that is still online. It's called The Soulless, S-O-U-L, The Soulless Shoes of Death, where I go through, like, I don't know, I found them in like 49 different countries, I think, in all different kinds, but all the time connected to death, to death, to death. And the photos are almost always taken by photographers from Associated Press and Reuters, both of them controlled by Rothschilds. So anyway, so I started pointing these things out years ago, and more people have become aware of it. I mean, like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, I would say hundreds of thousands of people are aware of these shoes, and it's become a joke almost. That people are sending me photos more or less daily. Look, there's another shoe, there's another shoe. I couldn't believe it when you mentioned the shoe, and then I saw the news, and boom, there's a shoe. So it's there so much. So now I'm suggesting, because I start seeing a pattern here, it's like they're trying to fade out the shoes because it doesn't work anymore, and they're trying to fade in bicycles instead.
Yeah.
So you will see these, there's an alleged mass shooting or an alleged bombing or whatever. What's right in the middle of the destruction? A bicycle that lies down.
Yeah.
Lying down, you know. So be aware of the shoes and bicycles. And then, I mean, it will make you laugh after a while because it's like, oh, come on, again?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just hitting a button, you know, for a response. That happens to me with NASA with, you know, now that a lot of people see through NASA, it's an ongoing joke with my guys where it's just it's like, asteroid about just missed Earth. And I'm like, no. Like, my thing I would always post the newest insane thing and just say, no, it didn't. And people would just laugh. Like, the best thing to do is be like, no, you know, I've seen people get shot before and their shoes don't just fly off. Like, what's up with the shoes? And when you see, because my dad was a professor of persuasion and mass communication, which, you know, now I'm starting to realize is mass wizardry and, you know, odd trauma triggers. They do think about this. Like, when people hear stuff like this, a lot of times they'll think, oh no, you're just seeing patterns where they don't exist. It's like, you explain the shoes and there's science behind this. Like, they, same with the lab coat. They figured out that if you're wearing a white lab coat, you'll literally electrocute a guy to death just because someone's wearing a white lab coat. Like, human beings do respond to symbol and to repetition and all that stuff. And it's pretty interesting when you see it, you know?
I tell you, you speak to anyone within marketing, commercials,
yeah,
they are very aware. Make an interview with Mike Williams from Sage of Cry. I mean, he is super, super. He's a hypnosis specialist. He's very aware, you know, the colors they use on the news, the text tickers below, all of that is to get you into the veggie state so that they can start hammering you with trigger words like terror, terror, a shooting, terror, terror, ISIS, terror, doom. These trigger words, you know, doom, 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 hammering it into your head. It's done by design big time, I can tell you that. So Yeah. But it's wonderful. This is exactly what I'm trying to do, to make people laugh at it. Become curious and say, oh my God, that's just, I couldn't believe it. And then when they start pointing it out to their friends and families and saying, just watch out for the shoes. Oh, come on, you must be joking. Mm-hmm. Next day, mass shooting in Massachusetts. And what is the image? A shoe. And then people are like, what? If that is true, then maybe I will have to start doubting the arrest. I just want to go back. You mentioned NASA here. And it's really interesting to see where these things come from, because NASA was created right after the Second World War. They were part of Operation Paperclip, where there was a lot of German scientists and military experts and the top of the line in different areas, including like the CIA, I mean, intelligence, all of that thing from. So anyway, they were exported through rat lines coordinated by the Vatican from former Nazi Germany into the US, into South America, where they started using people like Wernher von Braun in the rocket programs, and where they created NASA, with many of them former German, or they were still German, but I mean, former Nazi scientists. Because they were the best.
Yeah.
But it was also at that time when OSS was turned into the CIA, also with the help of people from Nazi Germany. One of them, Reinhard Gehlen, which was also the person who was there, part of building up the whole Gladio network. We're seeing the same key people, you know. And then at the very same time, you had a company or an organization called CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, that was created by the very same people. And where does all of these virus scares come from? The CDC in Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about the exact same crap that are part of this whole thing, and many of the patents for these viruses are owned by CDC.
Yeah.
And like the Zika virus, for instance, was created in 1947, right when CDC was created. And then they're just, and so now we have the corona. I mean, yeah. Oh God, give me another break, you know. So it's not the swine flu, it's not the Ebola, it's not the Zika, now it's the corona. And listen, if you got normal viruses, they would be called something like SV40, SB2XQ, things like that. That is the name of the virus, but not the ones they want to scare you with. They will have like a jingle, like Zika, no Zika, Zika, or Ebola. It's a jingle because they want you to spread the fear. So, and you won't be able to remember, oh, what was it, the SV40, I don't know, really remember, but you should be afraid. No, they need you to be able to remember it, and so they can just push it into your subconscious, and so that you are part of the megaphone of spreading this absolute crap.
Yeah,
so
no,
now it's corona,
man.
Which means crown as well. So maybe this is the final crown on the cake. I don't know.
Well, also, corona, there's a corona and Lyme disease, where you can put your lime in your corona beer. You know, it's like it does do these images where you have corona and lime. You know,
I cannot think of that.
And so it does get pretty funny. Where, yeah, because it's you're thinking of it as it's mind viruses. It's advertising. And when sometimes people will think of these shady rooms and they'll make the monsters seem bigger than they are. Just picture an ad company trying to sell something. You know, next it would be shoe virus. Maybe they can combine two.
Yeah, it needs to be something, you know, like it can't be too exotic, you know. So it's like it needs to be something that is nearby you.
Bird flu. I just saw a bird. Bird flu.
Oh, my God. Oh, it would be like everybody has – what has people got? They've got cats. They've got dogs. They got cows, so you got the cow. I mean, the mad cow disease, it needs to be close, because otherwise, if it's like the Orgarantotella didinoladu spider in former Indonesian colony like that, nobody would be scared because it's so far away. It needs to be close to you to freak you out.
The best would be the television virus, because they know that everyone would be watching it while they said it. Yeah, and this isn't, they've been doing this for so long. That's why I'm enjoying this time we're in, because when I was a kid, I remember they'd be like, your refrigerator may kill you. News at 11. Like, they've always done this. It's just now people are becoming aware of it and it doesn't work, which I find great, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, man. Well, where can people find you? I gotta land the plane. But this has been fascinating. The entire chat's been loving you, man.
You can find me on lightonconspiracies.com. Not light on conspiracy. It's conspiracies because there's so many going on. And conspiracies actually means just to breathe together. So conspiracy theorists, that's a CIA creation to use as a weapon people like. Yeah. So anyway, lightonconspiracies.com, because that is what I'm trying to push, shine the light into the belly of the beast, into the darkest of the dark corner. That is what I'm trying to do. Totally nonviolent, but expose it and make it stop. If someone would like to support me, extremely appreciated, because I'm not being paid by anyone. I've only spent like 40 years doing it. And so I've got the donation buttons on my website. I've got Patreon. I do a live show every Monday with Jason Goodman in New York called Light on Conspiracies, where you can watch on Patreon. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. My Facebook page, my official Facebook page, is like an it's like a underground headquarters, more or less, where I collect a lot of information about upcoming drills from all over the world, so that I'm, you know, as soon as I get information on the drill, upcoming one, I put it up there saying, please, anyone there, please go there, bring camp friends and family, cameras, film the suckers while they're setting the whole thing up. You know, yeah. Make it so obvious that they are being observed, because that way we will be able to make it. They can't move. It's like with all type of criminalities, it can only be in the shadows, in the dark. You switch on the light, boom, they're neutralized.
Yeah.
So that's, and what else?
you'll really be back here again. You'll be back here again sometime. So yeah, if you're down to do this again, I'd love to have you.
Bring me back, and I'll bring Cody as well. Cody Snodgrass, that is the real deal.
Yeah.
And you will enjoy that, because my God, he's an amazing person as well, a former monster. And now he's the whole spectrum. He's been the darkest of the dark, and now he's at the light of the light as well. He's accompanied by his angel. He had two near-death experiences, and since then he has his angel as well next to his side. So he always speaks in we form. We are doing good. We are doing that, because it's him and the angel. So to have a former assassin speak like that, it's quite interesting.
Yeah,
and you can ask him anything you want about poison, blowing up buildings, spirituality, you know, whatever. He's amazing. I would very much like to bring him on.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Yeah, and what's your overall vibe? Like, do you have anything to leave the people with? Because I am optimistic. I think that the more we have discernment and the more gratitude we have in our life, the less it works and there's less to be afraid of. What do you see? Do you see their techniques not being as effective? Because there's a lot of fear in the world right now, you know?
Well, not in my life.
Good.
I tell you, I live in a beautiful world, absolutely beautiful. But there is a cancer growth, and if we don't expose that cancer growth, it will kill this beautiful body. You know, so we need to find it, find all the metastases or whatever it's called, identify them, expose them, and then let the light do that. The truth do the work. So I am super, super, super optimistic. I've been that every single year. And my daughter is like, but come on, Dad, you said last year was going to be the year. I said, yeah, apparently I was wrong. But this year, and then next year, but this year. And I believe that this year is the year of 2020 vision, where the fog has lifted and we will finally see clearly what's going on. And I am super, super optimistic. Once again, like you said before, if you ask my brain, that could tell me that we're going down.
Right.
There's no way we can. So, but my heart is absolutely, totally devoted, and I'm And I'm enjoying it. And anyone who wants to get out of fear, go for gratitude, just like you said. Yeah. But you have to feel it. You have to breathe it in. You feel it in your body. And there's so many things to be grateful for. I mean, you have a foot, and maybe you don't have two, but then you have one. If you've got one eye instead of two, you got one eye, or you're dead. Whatever, you know, see your family, your friends, your children, you know, the people around you, that you're alive, that you're healthy, that you're, you know, it's like the native Indians. Some tribes say that this is the time where only the strongest of the strong spirits are here. You know, we have fought our way down to take part of this time because it's an amazing time. And now we're whimpering, saying, oh, I don't want to. Sorry, you bought the ticket. Yeah. Now it's time to excel. It's time for you to shine. So I have this prayer. I'm not religious, but I have this prayer that I absolutely love. And it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness. So victory to that light.
Amen, brother. Yeah, and that does deprogram the ones that are our enemies. They don't know how to handle gratitude. So God bless you, man, and thanks for doing this. And stay in touch, man. You rock.
For sure.
All right, later, man.
It takes one to know one.
All right. Cheers, brother. All right, guys. That's Ali Damagard. Isn't that awesome? Sounds Luciferian. All right. Relax. Boy, is very spiritual. Well, you know, I love how much the chat enjoyed Ali, and the fact that I turned on subscriber only was very helpful because we didn't get all the bots. But I mean, how much gravy did that guy just ladle? In the Las Vegas, they were like, this guy's home. Oh, yeah, your shoes. Thanks, OB. Oh, anytime. Yeah, it's like, that was amazing. Thanks, Owen Only. Yeah, no, the dude's been doing it since before there were conspiracy theorists. Like, he's been doing this shit back when, like, you know, this is my final thoughts on it. There's so much fear around us these days. I see it in people. But if you just give them a way out, a way to laugh, they immediately let go of it. Like yesterday, one of my buddies from LA texted me like, dude, swear to God, Kobe Bryant just crashed in a helicopter. And I just wrote back, he stole the helicopter. And he just wrote, ha ha, and then wrote, Michael Jordan wouldn't have died. And it was just over. And that's the thing. It's like, when I was a kid, you couldn't talk this way like this. Like we have, I know it appears that we have tyranny and censorship and all that. The real problem we face is moral degeneracy. You know, praising sodomy and all this stuff. That's the real problem. But we aren't really being silenced or silenced. Like people are silencing themselves because of social shame and nonsense. When I was a kid, like when Ali first started and he was like looking at assassinations and stuff, they'd like kill you. Like he lost two of his buddies. You know, back then when everyone was under the spell and there was no internet, like you couldn't do anything. And people don't understand how much more power they used to have. You know, people in their head were on a downward track. You know, look at everybody. Everybody's asleep in darkness. If you're really honest with yourself and you look back at your childhood, when I was a kid, it was the same fear structure. It was the end of times was here. It was the Russian nuclear holocaust was going to come any minute of any day, right? And if you didn't buy into that fear, they would be like, oh, you're just brain dead. You're asleep. You're a sheep. I think it's a great time to be alive. And if you for 1 second put off a family or in doing what you enjoy or getting healthy because you think the world's going to end tomorrow anyway, that's the weapon. Thanks, Ole Demigard and Big Bear. All right, time. Shaq is too heavy. Shaq would have just put his feet down. Yeah, and to see you guys like enjoying, and I didn't give you guys the ability of this. I think that this is just a good meeting place for a lot of people that have been secretly kind of mocking the nonsense for a long time. The good news is Kobe dying is the bike thieves. They can't steal bikes today. That's really funny. You know, someone else texted me something really. Oh, Made by Jim Bob texted me. I can't remember how he phrased it, but he said, 9 people die in helicopter crash. Confirmed rapist makes the media mourns over the one rapist. This is funny. And if people say, how dare you, there was a child in there, just understand. They put children in these traumatic events just so that you can't laugh at it. When they say, how dare you, it's like they're to the point where they have to be like, a 5-year-old with a beautiful face in a wheelchair, and all you can do is... Dimitri, the despair, I'll give you, like, this episode, you can talk like that, but no more, buddy. Okay, like, Dimitri is saying, like, but then how did he survive? He's clearly... Dimitri, listen, I know you have a good heart, buddy. I see your emails. I know you have a good heart. People say the same shit about me. They used to say that because I wasn't kicked off YouTube, it means I'm deep state. I'm working for the Jews or the Freemasons. I get kicked off of YouTube. They say, well, now that he isn't dead, he's... Dude, enough, Dimitri. And I like you is the only reason I didn't ban you, because I understand you're coming from a good place and you're trying to be protective of the group. But as someone who people do that to all the time, you can't grow or win or learn if you think just because someone isn't dead that they're a liar. It's okay, buddy. I love you, man. I know your heart's in a good place. I could be wrong. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Let me just explain this real fast. If you're in the mindset that just because someone's being brave and they're not dead, that means they're a liar, you're in a permanent prison. There's wins happening all the time that people won't allow themselves to see. Like, for the first time in American history this year, more people have attended libraries than movie theaters. Did you know that? Probably not, because it's not reported by the media. There's wins happening. This is the most homeschooled children in the history of America right now. This is the first time in decades that religion is actually increasing. I know, dude, but you never stopped a FF. I don't know what that means. Okay, Dimitri, let's say, just hear me out. Because someone brought that up to Ali once in a show. He said, well, why isn't Snodgrass dead? Is that an alien? He's like, once you work for the CIA, you always work for the CIA. And he goes, that may be true until I, you know, he's meticulous. Terabytes of evidence. So it's like, until you see that to be the case, that's just in your brain. It's just in your brain. You're creating horror to keep yourself in a prison. That is not true. False flags have been blown off forever as fringe conspiracy like Alex Jones. Right. And guys, we got into World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Spanish War. They're all false flags. None of this is new. That, I mean, they were attempting to do one with Cuba, the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, this is how major powers start wars. That's it. It's not new. This is the time when you can laugh about it. Back in the day, everyone believed it. And so the way to get through this time, because there is a division happening in the world. I don't know if you guys can feel it. A lot of celebrities and people with power are descending fast. I mean, there's now videos of Puff Daddy talking about how he wants to kill himself. And these people are acting like they're not doing well, because the hedonistic lifestyle and the constant material is not working. You know, these people don't even want the anuses and drugs anymore. Like, they're like, it isn't working. And you can see the panic in their eyes. And then you see people, like a lot of people in this chat, they're like, you know, we're having our first baby. Big Bear, I just got a grow light. Like, not only are people not descending, they're elevating. And if you want to be stuck, like, I know there's going to be churchians being like, well, he never specified Jesus Christ. I mean, he did praise Jesus Christ, but he didn't specify. Guys, the magic word, Christians, there's places for you. And I don't mind what you do. I get it. But, like, if you believe that only the people who say the Lord's Prayer exactly how you say it and follow your dogma are the good ones and everyone else is bad, I just really look around, because some of the best, the devil can quote scripture. Look for the honest man. Don't look for, like, you know, we're all here. Don't get me wrong. When people say brothers in Christ, we're all here. Many of them are great people, but there are people that can just say magic words to allow you to open your heart to them, and then they'll suck you dry. Half the gammas that did the most damage to me are people that constantly quote the Bible. I like when people quote the Bible when it's true, but if you do that, yeah, he is humble. Guys, he actually goes to these places and exposes the things you're scared about. But if it's like, oh, he didn't say the... He's faced SWAT teams. His friends have been murdered. Well, he wasn't murdered, so that means he's bad. Fuck you. Like, you can tell the dude is... I mean, he's not your savior. He's not your guy that's going to make everything go away. He's a guy with gravy and he has a ladle. He's meticulously kept track of every single hoax and false flag event for 30 years in folders. He has a folder called Shoes. Now, if you discredit him and don't listen to what he has to say because you're scared of being hoodwinked, you don't understand how to live. If he hoodwinks you, it doesn't matter. As long as you don't see him as your savior. Man is not saved by man. He has gravy. He's crawling on the street, taking measurements and dissecting bullet angles. I know, while other people are watching pornos and being like, he's not saying Jesus' name properly. Oh, I'm coming. Oh, it's disgusting, and we see right through it. This is a time where people can't hide their nature. You false churchians, I won't specify because no, I don't ever feel comfortable saying someone's a fraud, but like, we can see it. Like when you're acting like, I mean, this guy doesn't go to my specific church. Oh, I'm coming on. We know what you are. You know, when these celebrities, we can see right through them now, and they fucking know it, and they're spiraling. Will Smith is frantically putting up YouTube videos and being like, I mean, dude, we see it now. Like the nature of news is obvious. Guys, you want to see some funny ass shit? Let me just show you something real quick. I got to send this to myself. How Dimitri is, I respect because he's being protective of the group and I understand that, but I'm just going to let you know that if you don't allow yourself to learn or feel gratitude or enjoy someone else's vast experience, I mean, what do you do all day besides just watch pornos and get scared? You know, the controller's ultimate goal is to get every man in America to just have Alex Jones on, CNN, and pornos. They want, like, I just look now at amount of fear delivered. And CNN doesn't deliver fear like Alex Jones does these days because everyone knows CNN's a liar. Watch this. This is hysterical. They can't even operate anymore. It's not because they're so close to the finish line. They're fucking falling apart. This was on MSNBC last night. Everyone's obsessing about the pre-programming with Kobe. Watch this. And then that's it. Unauthorized.tv, by the way. Unbearablesmerchandise.com. Subscribe, all that shit. All right, check this out.
But you couldn't deny how much he brought to the team, no matter which team, which Lakers team he played on.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to stay with us, we're going to go to...
She just called him the Los Angeles niggers. And people are like, that's what they think of them. The masks are falling, guys. This is MSNBC. This woman just called it the Los Angeles niggers.
But you couldn't deny how much he brought to the team, no matter which team, which Lakers team he played on.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to stay with us, we're going to go to Bill Rowe.
It's like, how do you not enjoy that? Like, what's the point if you're not like, wow, that's great? You know, they've spent all this time being like, if you say the N-word, you're taking the soul from the black man and you are a white supremacist. Meanwhile, it's just now it's like, yeah, perfectly cast, right? They don't see it. Don't be scared of these people because they're operating on lies upon lies upon lies. This woman just called it the Los Angeles niggers. And everyone's like, He was perfectly cast. And then the conspiratorial self-sabotaging mind would say, oh, they made sure they did that so that we would then... No! Like, are you in the world? You know, like, do you see people? As a comedian, I've been around an insane amount of human beings. People don't function the way a lot of conspiracy people think they function. That this is all just, no, there is very elaborate assassinations and false flags where they have all these diversions and all this. What we're witnessing right now is masks falling off. Like, what is inside is becoming obvious. What is in the dark is becoming in the light. What you whisper when no one can hear, people can now see. And the more they don't understand it, like, they're, it's like these churchians that are like, well, in the name of Jesus Christ, you didn't say, you know, in the name of Jesus. I'm like, buddy, we know what you're doing. You're clinging on to dogma because you're either scared or lying. And when people talk about Jesus Christ and because he's their savior, they don't act like that. And we all know it. Just like when celebrities go out and they say, I'm here to speak on behalf of the Wichita tribe and global warming. We're all just like, stop. You know, when people are like, if you say a certain word, black people, and then they just go on the air and they're like, the LA niggers. And you're like, because it's not that they're trying to reveal anything. They're not like, I'm ready to tell the truth. They can't help it now. It's almost like this demonic Tourette's where they're just like, eh. I mean, the amount of shit that people just are saying now, and some people are not allowing themselves to feel the beauty of it. When I was a kid, everyone went to this church, this Catholic church. We moved churches a lot. But the priest was a pedophile. Sorry, E. Michael Jones, I love you to death. It's not just homosexuality they're covering up. No one talked about it. If you talked about it, you were like fringe, like it was just, it was under the surface. Many people didn't know. A lot of people just saw him as the connection to God. Meanwhile, what he was a monster. Nowadays, you see people that are true believers and people that are living in truth and love, and you see people that aren't. And I don't give a fuck what shirt you're wearing or what book you're holding or, you know, who butters your biscuits. It's obvious. That woman has probably apologized for saying, you know, that men and women are different. She just called them the LA niggers. They can't help. It's like, look at what's happening with NASA. You think that this is like a controlled disclosure? No. Have you never been around a wizard? Like, the truth is always trying to just, like, the wicked and the liars are always trying to keep the truth down. It takes constant maintenance. It takes trust from people that don't know. Once people are even a little suspicious, the truth is just clawing at the masks of the liar. And I'm fucking loving it. Like, enjoy the ride, man. Because if not, if you're just on this whole fear, 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 I'm not predicting like a big kill off like some of these other truth channels or any of this, but like, because I don't even think like your physical, I don't know, you will on some level of you will die, and it doesn't. I have no idea what that is, but I see it. If you don't allow yourself to have joy on any level, and you just see everything as a descent, it's already over for you, and that's not naivety. Like Ole Demigard is like. He'll tell you what kind of fucking caliber was used to kill a child who witnessed the Clinton murder. Like, he's not, like, he can get dark. But even him will say, like, no, things are going great. We're crushing. It's not naive to think that we're crushing. Non-truths always crumble. Fact. Hair is epic today, BB. Thank you. All right. Anything else anyone wants to talk about? Part of this 2020 vision concept. Yeah, but it's not made... And everyone also thinks that like Freemasons or Jews or something are doing these like 100-year plans and all that. Don't forget that God is the true architect of the script, the Father of Jesus Christ, God the Father, the light of all truth. Do you think that a fucking Freemason or like a Jew, like a Zionist or like Skull and Bones or someone that had to whack off in a casket to get acceptance in a little club when they were like a kid, do you think that they are architecting these long games? No, it has to be forces that we don't see. And it's going great. Let's listen to the nigger thing one more time and then I'm out. Unauthorized.tv, please subscribe. If you want to donate, I don't have a Patreon. Sorry, Ollie, I'm a little more hardcore than you. I'm just kidding, but legitimately though. P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. Just mail me a letter. All right, last time we're going to listen to this hilarity and enjoy it. Don't overthink it. Don't think this is scripted by Freemasons. This is a woman. I know what happened. She was trying to say Knicks, and then her brain just said nigger. It's fucking hysterical.
But you couldn't deny how much he brought to the team, no matter which team, which Lakers team he played on.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to speak to Bill Rowe.
Oh, my God. And everything isn't scripted, guys. People are like, oh, every event is scripted by Hollywood, even on the red carpet. Well, as someone who's been on the red carpet and someone who's literally hosted award shows that have honored Leonardo DiCaprio and all these people, I'm telling you it isn't. I had a teleprompter, but I riffed a ton. And it isn't as controlled as people think. The big picture is controlled. If you do say certain things like you're an actual believer, children should be protected, yeah, you're blackballed. They have total control. But it's not a fucking, it's falling apart. When you're on the red carpet, I'm telling you, I'm someone who's done it. Not just random dudes whacking off to porn watching YouTube. It's a mob. You go down the red carpet, everyone's like, I got a question. And then you just say shit. That's how it actually works. It's like, no, that was all pre-planned. No, what's pre-planned is these hoax events and shit. And that's like what he's uncovered. This is obviously scripted. Nobody accidentally slips and calls them niggers. I hope you're joking. I fucking hope you're joking. Like, yes, they do. People slip all the time. You're giving all your power to these fucking lying, weak humans. You think that they're so in control? Guys, they're such slaves to their own appetites. They can't even be faithful to someone. They can't stop watching porn and doing blow. They can't stop. They have no control over themselves at all. You think they're like, what I will do is call them a nigger. Dude, that woman's now spiraling. Do you think she's like sitting in a little corner with a bunch of people like, mwahaha, now the conspiracy people will catch on it and laugh and then, no, enjoy the ride. All right, I love you guys. P.O. Box, not all of you. P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335, unauthorized.tv, and unbearablesmerchandise.com. Be fruitful and multiply, don't be fruity and boil guy. And everything isn't a lie. In fact, nothing is, except for lies, but the truth of a lie is that it's a lie. Reality is not a lie. Mwah. Stop watching pornos.